Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show podcast. 403, welcome aboard. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, and at the moment, 106.3 FM. Online, kgymradio.com. You can pick up the stream 24/7, whatever we've got coming your way. Download the podcasts, catch up at your leisure. Great program for you today. We are going to chat with Dylan Montz of the Ames Tribune coming up at 4:30 tonight. Iowa State hosting TCU this weekend at Jack Trice Stadium. Weather forecast once again looks to be a little dodgy, but Cyclones will be wearing those black and white uniforms looking to take down the Horned Frogs. Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf is the color commentator for the University of Michigan's radio network. He's going to be with us tonight at 5:30. He'll preview Iowa's trip to Ann Arbor. And we've got the MLB postseason to dissect with Joe Sheehan coming up at 6:05 tonight. Would you on tap as well as the Cardinals and Braves officially underway in the suburbs of Atlanta. Dexter Fowler in the box leading off for the Cardinals. That game on TBS for those of you who may be interested in tuning in. And that game is also airing right now on 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. You're not distracted at all by this. I've barely seen you even look up at the TV.
No, actually, I'm from where I'm sitting, I'm intentionally blocking the TV so I can talk to all of you out there. I don't want to be distracted by the game. I know that it can be a distraction. So that's what you do, right? I don't want any outside noise coming into my vision right now.
It's like we're in the Iowa football complex
one
or something.
Show at a time.
No outside noise, focused on the task at hand. Just we got to get through this show and then we can turn our attention to the Friday show. We are, by the way, in the KGYM studios today. Perhaps you have picked up on that. We gave you a heads up yesterday that we moved the road trip this week to next Thursday at Mulligan's. So you can still go hang out at Mulligan's. Happy hour is underway from 3 until 6. And then tonight it's half price wings from 6 until close. But we're going to do back-to-back road trips next week and the following week. So we're here in the KGYM studio. We're missing out on all the fun. And most importantly, Buddy Lee is missing out on those half-price wings. Cardinals and Braves leading off tonight, and they will be followed, not on our airwaves, but the Nationals and the Dodgers. There should be a good series there. Former Cedar Rapids Colonel Patrick Corbin getting the start for the Nationals against Walker Buehler. And speaking of former Colonels pitchers, Nick Anderson pitching the final He pitched the eighth and then the first out of the ninth inning last night for the Tampa Bay Rays before yielding to Emilio Pagan. Tampa Bay advancing to take on the Houston Astros. And I've seen some people say that they think Tampa Bay has a chance in that series. I'm not one to believe that, but I thought we had two great wild card games. Games of differing qualities. You had the fantastic eighth inning finish with the Washington-Milwaukee game. And then last night, it was just a matter of watching Tampa Bay go out and do its thing and hold Oakland at bay, which they did. And now we're into the meat of things tonight, the National League leading off and the American League postseason kicking into high gear tomorrow with the Minnesota Twins taking on the New York Yankees.
The thing I liked about the AL wildcard game in particular, the NL wildcard game, there's star power there. You know who a lot of those players are. You know who Max Scherzer is. You know who Juan Soto is. Christian Yelich, you know, but he obviously was not playing in that game. But there are a lot of household names in that game. Oakland against Tampa Bay, I feel like there's a problem. I bring up this problem all the time with the NHL, where you have these really fantastic players playing in markets where nobody sees them. Connor McDavid is in Edmonton, Austin Matthews is in Toronto, and yeah, those are good Canadian markets, but in the U.S., you don't get to see those players all the time. In Major League Baseball, How many people were saying Oakland against Tampa Bay? I know nothing about either of those teams, but they have a lot of young talent, and that was on display last night. They have a different way of looking at the game, and they find diamonds in the rough, and here they are. Here are the Tampa Bay Rays moving into the ALDS. Now, I don't think they have a ton of a chance. I think that the Houston Astros are the major version of what they are. They're the better version of what the Tampa Bay Rays are, but you can't take anything away from Tampa.
I read an article yesterday that referred to Oakland and Tampa Bay as Major League Baseball's most watchable teams. And that, I thought that was a fun game last night. There are some folks out there that would like the wild card to be a best of three series. They don't see the fairness in one and done. There's something to be said about acknowledging that this is still better than what we had 25 years ago, which is two of those teams would not even have been in the postseason after having pretty solid regular seasons. And it does add intrigue to the final 2 weeks of the regular season, which oftentimes in the era where you had just one wild card team, that wasn't the case. There are more teams that are still competitive, and I like the current system the way that it is. Again, you can catch the Braves and the Cardinals airing right now on 107.5 FM. We have for you tonight high school football coming up after this program is over on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 FM. So no Thursday night football here on KGY. Pretty intriguing game, though.
The Rams and the Seahawks.
The Rams and the Seahawks, and I think Seattle is a point and a half favorite.
Correct.
In that game. That surprises me a little bit, but it's in Seattle, and I think the Seahawks can win that game tonight. I really do.
I like the Seahawks. I was one of those people that used to just bank on the fact that Russell Wilson is a system quarterback. He's a product of his surroundings, and boy, was that a terrible take at the time, because everything around him has changed, and they still find ways to win games. The Seattle Seahawks are a fantastic organization. How they've been able to just supplement what they want to do with different player after different player has been fantastic. And I know a lot of people were looking at DK Metcalf as a guy who was going to be a bust coming out of Ole Miss because he could only run go routes. But this was a perfect fit for him because that's all he's asked to do. That's pretty much what the Seattle offense is. It's running the ball, slant routes, and go routes, and having one of the best deep ball throwers of our generation, Russell Wilson, throwing it up to these big-time targets. The Rams, they have issues on the offensive line, and Jared Goff is turning the ball over as a result of it. So I think it's a very intriguing matchup, and what do we say about Thursday night games? They're not usually great matchups unless they're divisional matchups, and then sometimes we get entertaining games.
We did get an entertaining game last Thursday,
we
right?
We did.
And this could be another one of those interesting fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants games tonight as the Seahawks look to hold the Rams at bay. We'll get into that a little bit coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. The Cubs, while we're talking baseball, tweeted out about an hour ago a thank you to former manager Joe Maddon. And we had more managerial news in baseball today because another big market team is looking for a new skipper. The New York Mets have moved on from Mickey Callaway. After two seasons, there's speculation that Mike Matheny, the former Cardinals manager, could be a candidate for the Mets gig, even though he's widely believed to be the choice to succeed Ned Yost in Kansas City.
I don't get it.
Well, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And Matheny went to the University of Michigan, and there are ties to the Wilpon family. There, the Wilpons, the owner of the Mets. We're going to tackle the subject of the managerial openings coming up tonight in the 5 o'clock hour on Would You, because there are some intriguing jobs that are open right now. I think today's firing of Mickey Callaway brings seven the total of job openings. And on the subject of people losing their jobs, this is, it's official now within the last hour or so. The reports, if you've been following along in the sports media world, the last 24 hours or so, there were some rumblings that Sports Illustrated was going to take some major hits. And it seems now that about 20% of the full-time staff at Sports Illustrated has been let go. I feel like a little part of my childhood is being murdered in front of my eyes here. Sports Illustrated is iconic, is it not?
Yes.
And
a sign of the times, unfortunately.
It's now a shell of its former self, and the company that bought Sports Illustrated and is licensing the name is now trying to wring every last possible cent out of it while cutting costs right and left. And this is what we do in 2019. I completely understand that. We try to make as much profit as we can with as few people on the payroll as possible, these large corporations. But it's just tough to see. There's multiple generations that grew up on Sports Illustrated. And I'll readily admit that the last time that my subscription lapsed about a year ago, I didn't renew it because they went to publishing every other week. And I found myself, I'm so busy. You know, I've got a kid and I've got a job that has me working odd hours. And all of a sudden I would look and there on the nightstand, I'd have two or three issues stacked up there that I hadn't read yet. Or because, again, this is what happened 20 years ago when the internet came into being. I've read the stories online for free. And so I'll look and, okay, yeah, Jeff Passan's got something in there. Tom Verducci's got a piece on baseball. Well, I read it online for free. So why am I paying, you know? And granted, nobody, if you're paying full cover price for a subscription to a magazine, you're doing it wrong. But I imagine there's somebody out there that is. Most of the time, I think the last time that I got a mailing from Sports Illustrated trying to get me back, they were offering something like $9.97 for an entire year. And I didn't even see the value in that. I was like, I'll pass.
It's a strange thing that's happened to like the newspaper business. You've mentioned it. Everything's gone online, and now when you have something where you can read it right away, you have an article that you can read right away, and for free, who is going to pay the money to wait for an article, first of all, and then pay for the article that you could get for free? So, yeah, that's sort of the situation that a lot of these publications are in, and I just don't know how they get themselves out of it.
There still, I believe, is a place for long-form journalism in America today. And I think back to Sports Illustrated, and how many times did I read an excerpt of a book that was coming out that the first time that I came across it was in Sports Illustrated, and it was enough of a taste of that book to make me go out and want to buy it. And When I was younger, we couldn't afford a subscription to Sports Illustrated. We didn't have that type of money. So every week, I remember going to the library as a kid, and I would sit there, and I would just devour Sports Illustrated every week from cover to cover. And it was, again, it was such a part of a number of people's lives growing up. And we won't even get into the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but I believe that that was a rite of passage for a number of young men, again, across multiple eras, right? It was a big deal when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out. I hate to see it. And this is an iconic sports. It's a piece of American history. It's a piece of sports history, and it's a piece of journalism history, and it's being gutted before our very eyes, because now we're nothing but lines on a spreadsheet. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. And they're going to try to remake or reinvent Sports Illustrated. Well, sometimes you don't need to reinvent what works. Ask the folks at Coke, who in the mid-1980s decided that they were going to come out with new Coke. And people quickly realized that new isn't always better. And so now they went back to classic Coca-Cola. I don't know why I got off on the Sports Illustrated tangent, but it just, again, that was such a part of, I can't be the only one out there who grew up reading Sports Illustrated. And I just, I don't know, that hit me. That was like a punch in the gut reading the news throughout the day that they're cutting 20% of their full-time staff. And let's be honest here. It never ends at 20%, does it? 20% is just the first round. And then after 6 months or a year, they look at the spreadsheet again and they realize that there's another 15% that they can cut. And before too long, the quality is not to the point where it justifies paying for it. You shoot yourself in the... These media companies shoot themselves in the foot all the time. And that's what I don't understand is they start losing revenue because, again, 20 years ago, everybody in the industry was not smart enough to realize that you're putting online for free what you charge people for in print. And the prevailing thought was, we'll make it all up because we'll sell online advertising and people will be clicking on the pages and our online advertising is going to sustain us. And that's not what happened in the print industry. And they were very slow to react to that. And a decade later, they realized the genie was out of the bottle. People expected to get a product for free. And then when you say, okay, we're putting something behind a paywall, why am I going to pay for something that I got for free? And same thing with this program, radio. And again, I like the stability of where we're at right now because I think radio is way more stable than any of the other news mediums. This program is free, due in large part to the advertisers that we have here on the radio station, all of whom have my undying love and respect. We love our advertisers. What happens tomorrow if all of a sudden we say, hey, at 4 o'clock, you got to pay to hear this show? I know what happens. 98% of people out there are like, okay, I'll find something else to listen to. And that's where we got to be with the new. You could still go online and read Sports Illustrated for free, all the articles. Why would you pay for a print subscription? 366-1600. If I had one thing to do over, you go back in time, and of course they would say, who is this crazy time traveler from 2019? But I'd go back to the late 90s, and I would do whatever I could to get the attention of people in the news, in the media industry, and get them to realize this is not the path forward. It was viewed as a great thing. Oh man, we've got more information at our fingertips than we've ever had before. And it was true. And I remember sitting in high school in the computer lab in computers class. If you got your assignments done ahead of time, you could surf the internet for 10 or 15 minutes before the bell rang. And I remember, man, you read the St. Louis Post and the Chicago Tribune. If you're a baseball fan or a sports fan, you had more knowledge about teams than you ever had right at your fingertips. This is great. How could this possibly backfire? It's backfired on us. Let's go to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. At least one person is still with me throughout that tangent. Sonny in Iowa City, Sports Illustrated. Sonny, what's up?
Oh, you know me. I love a good old-timey tangent. Sports Illustrated, I have a bit of a different take on Sports Illustrated. For me, it was less of the writing and more of the photography. I was a huge fan of the photography of Sports Illustrated back in the day, and I would I'd cut out the covers and I'd put them on my bedroom wall up in Canada. And I specifically remember a couple of them, and my favorite one was the finals of the NCAA tournament with the Chris Webber timeout and Eric Montrose, I believe was his name.
Oh, yeah, I can still see the buzz cut.
Yeah, I mean, it was just such an iconic, you know, battle between these two teams, and the characters were larger than life, and Sports Illustrated really had the ability to show, you know, top-end photography of these titanic battles. The lenses, they'd use fisheye lenses, which, you know, as a kid, it just sort of blew your mind to see the entire landscape of the court, you know, end-to-end in one photograph, and their ability to capture, you know, just those moments right there, because they were everywhere. They were at every single major event. And then it was like posters you could buy for, you know, $3 or whatever the cost of a magazine cost back then. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, unfortunately, the journalism landscape did not evolve maybe in the past that they would have had they had the foresight to see what the future would be. And that's just unfortunate. But, you know, a magazine like Sports Illustrated is really one of those iconic things that you hate to ever see change.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. And again, I think back to riding my bike to the library and reading Sports Illustrated every week. And for a kid who grew up in Eastern Iowa who didn't have cable TV, that was sort of the conduit to the sports world. And again, I don't think I'm the only person out there that was introduced to. How do you think I came across hockey or sports horse racing or guys like Mario Andretti, Arnold Palmer, through the pages of Sports Illustrated, the great conduit to a world beyond the confines of a little town in Eastern Iowa? Sonny makes a great point about the photography too, because that was just as much a part of classic Sports Illustrated as anything. Eddie Matthews, I believe, was on the very first cover of Sports Illustrated, that great long shot of Eddie Matthews at bat, the very first edition of Sports Illustrated. 319-366-1600. It's still going to exist.
How are they going to reinvent it, though? Because I look at SportsCenter and something similar has happened to that. That was another one where it was a big part of people's lives, and now it's sort of obsolete. It's not necessarily needed for a large amount of people. How do they reinvigorate Sports Illustrated the way they did kind of with Scott Van Pelt and SportsCenter?
Poochie. They're going to bring Poochie on, and then that'll completely change everything. There's no, you can't reinvent the wheel, I don't think. And right now, they're not worried about, see, and that's the problem here. They're not worried about reinventing the wheel. They're not worried about saving the product. They're worried about wringing every last cent out of it before it's dead. That's what it's about. And I think there's a lot of people out there that you don't have to work in the media industry to understand that in 2019, a lot of industries have suffered the same fate. There's a lot of people out there who are just a line on a spreadsheet. And it doesn't matter whether you spent 40 years, 50 years making widgets on the factory floor. If you're making more than somebody who can come along and do it for less, or if a robot can do it for less, out of a job. And it's all in the name of maximizing investor profits. So you got people come along, oh yeah, we'll buy Sports Illustrated. We'll take good care of it. We'll keep it around for a couple years. That was the original deal. They're going to continue the print product for a couple years. And then lo and behold, they changed their mind very quickly. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. A lot of great reminiscing about Sports Illustrated. I knew I wasn't the only one who was introduced to a number of sports. I don't think there's any way I come across hockey other than listening to it on the radio late at night and reading about it in Sports Illustrated. It's not something that got a ton of coverage here in Eastern Iowa growing up. Football, yeah. Basketball, baseball, that's about it. Lots of other sports. Boxing. How many boxing? You think Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas and Sports Illustrated. Let's go to the phone lines. John in Columbus Junction. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. If I could hop in the DeLorean and go back in time to change one thing, I would go back in time, and I would prevent the Herschel Walker trade from Dallas to the Vikings and eliminate that dynasty. That's the one thing I would love to go back and change. Other than that, I'm good, fellas. Thanks for my call.
I like that you took that and ran with it, and I'm sure there are some Cowboys fans out there that don't like the idea of that, but that trade changed the fortunes of not one but two franchises. Let's go to Keith in Cedar Rapids to weigh in on the demise of Sports Illustrated. Keith, what's up?
You would have thought Sports Illustrated would have gotten with the times and hopped on, you know, like a lot of print media didn't do. You know, Sports Illustrated didn't do it as well. So why not sell out as Sports Illustrated? Sell yourself to NBC. They need a big-time, you know, coverage for college football and whatnot. I mean, you could sell out like that, Sports Illustrated on NBC or Sports Illustrated on ESPN, something to go ahead and keep the name but still maintain the integrity of what they've done. You would have thought that they would have gone ahead and did something like that. But unfortunately, this is another thing. First, it's Toys R Us. Now it's Sports Illustrated. It's what can you do to go ahead and replace it? Because if not, you're in the wind. Otherwise, you're the top dog, just like Amazon. So those are my thoughts. Thanks for hearing me out, guys.
Keith, appreciate it. Now you made me really sad again because you reminded me that Toys R Us is no longer around. And my son will never know the joy of getting the Toys R Us ad in November, right around Thanksgiving. You go through the Toys R Us catalog and you circle everything that you want.
He just gets everything shipped to him on Amazon.
Oh, he goes and buys things at yard sales. He's very frugal. 319-366-1600, the old-timey radio hour, where the old guy who writes checks at the rummage sale laments the loss of a print magazine.
Garage sales yesterday.
That people apparently are not reading anymore, and that's part of the reason that Sports Illustrated is in the pinch that it is. I like to believe that there's always going to be a place for quality sports journalism, quality storytelling, and quality products, but I'm not naive. People don't have the attention span in this day and age to sit down and read a 6 or 7, 8 page story in Sports Illustrated.
People, they want to read it in the high headline anymore.
They want to read it in three paragraphs. There's some people out there, if you can't tell them the story in the headline before they even click on it, they'll just scroll past it. Speaking of headlines, three times a day on the program, our producer Kyle Mann joins us in the studio to bring you up to date on what's going on in the sports world here in the Hawkeye State and in particular Eastern Iowa. It's a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street, not too far from the Sinclair gas station. And you can also visit their interiors showroom, Answers by Alexander. That's located on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City.
With all the injuries to Iowa's secondary, the leadership and stability that Michael Ojemudia has provided so far this season has been critical to Iowa's defensive success. But even more than that, it turns out Ojemudia is putting the clamps down on receivers as well. Data gathered by Pro Football Focus shows that among cornerbacks at Power 5 schools targeted at least 13 times, Ojemudia is third in the country, allowing a passer rating of just 21.8. The Iowa volleyball team hosted 7th-ranked Minnesota last night and actually took the first set 25-18 before dropping the next three. It doesn't get much easier from there, as next for them is 5th-ranked Penn State in State College on Saturday. The Cyclone volleyball team, though, dispatched Kansas in straight sets last night. They moved to 10-4 on the season and will also be on the road on Saturday at West Virginia. You remember the name Michael Dyer? He was a 5-star running back recruit who played at Auburn and won a national championship with Cam Newton. He later wound up at Louisville and spent time with the Oakland Raiders, but he's now a Cedar Rapids River King. If you recall, with the score tied at 19 with just 2 minutes remaining in that 2010 national title game, it was Dyer as a freshman who rolled over and out of a tackle for a 37-yard run that put Auburn in position to kick a game-winning field goal, earning him offensive MVP honors. You're hearing the show right now on either 1600 AM or 106.3 FM, and that's because over on 107.5 FM, we've got the Braves hosting the Cardinals for Game 1 of their divisional series. And then right after the show, we've got two nice high school matchups for you. Jefferson hosting 2nd-ranked Cedar Falls will be on 1600 and 107.5, and City High travels to Davenport North on 106.3.
The Braves currently leading the Cardinals 1-0 in the second inning in that game at Atlanta. That'll be followed by the Dodgers and the Nationals tonight. Tomorrow, Twins and Yankees, as well as the Rays and Astros. Couldn't, in my opinion, ask for a better postseason than the one that we've got on our hands right now. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Dylan Montz of the Ames Tribune joins us. We'll take a look at Iowa State and TCU this weekend, a critical game for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones on tap. Back after this.
When donations are made to United Way of East Central Iowa, they're helping create lasting change in the lives of people in our community. United Way identifies where there are gaps of need, supports programs filling those gaps, and inspires others to join the fight for the health, education, and financial stability of families in East Central Iowa. That's why they say, United we fight, united we thrive. Go to uweci.org to learn more about how you, too, can join the fight.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Defining sports culture, piece by piece. The rhythm of the running game. The pulse of the passing attack. The riffs and reps of each play. The majesty of putting it all together. Every sport needs a great soundtrack. Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
You know, there's a warehouse somewhere in the United States full of those football phones and fleece jackets depicting the logo of your favorite NFL team. We should get a football phone here in the KGYM studios. You like that? Are you familiar with the football phone?
I think so.
It was a big enticement to get people to subscribe to sports. You pay $89.97 to subscribe to Sports Illustrated, and then they would send you.
I remember the fleece jackets.
A football phone. Yeah.
Pretty sure I have a fleece jacket somewhere around with the SI logo on it.
Lamenting the loss of another piece of our youth. It's what we do as we get older. It's no fun growing old. The only thing, you get older, everybody around you dies. And everything that you enjoyed or are sentimental about from growing up in your younger years, everything goes to pot. That's what getting older is. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, the Cardinals and Braves game currently airing on 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. The Braves on top of the Cardinals, 1-0 in game one of that National League Divisional Series. Miles Michaelis and Dallas Keuchel, the pitching matchup. Looks like the Braves trying to get something more going in the bottom of the second inning. We'll keep you up to date on that game throughout the day. A couple high school games on tap for you tonight on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 FM. Well, you got us until 7 o'clock tonight. And you've got Iowa State football to look forward to on Saturday. TCU comes to Jack Trice Stadium. John Walters will be on the call. You can hear it right here on 1600 AM Saturday. Dylan Montz of the Ames Tribune joining us now to preview Iowa State TCU. And it's hard to not look at this game and not look at Iowa State's record and say that this is sort of a must-win game. Is it too early for a must-win game, Dylan?
Hey, Todd. I think if you want to talk about Iowa State in the context of what they've done the last couple of years and getting to that 8-win type of threshold, I think you do have to go out and win this, especially when it's at home. You're facing back-to-back road games after that at West Virginia and Texas Tech, who, you know, they've obviously struggled so far this season, especially once they got into league play. But this is a game at home you need to take care of if you want to still stay in that type of top half of the Big 12 type of conversation.
What areas has Matt Campbell been focusing on as far as talking to you guys and saying that he needs to clean up areas of this team after 4 weeks of the season?
Yeah, a lot of it is just what they've been able to do on offense. They've moved the ball well at times, but then it's once they get inside the 40, inside the 35 of the plus side of the field, they've really struggled getting points out of it, and the drives have been derailed for one reason or another. You talk about holding penalties, pass interference. At Baylor, they went for it on a 4th-and-1 and didn't get it. And, you know, some of those things happen at times, but they've happened with too much regularity for Iowa State so far. So it's finding ways to eliminate some of those and generate points because, Iowa State plays good defense, and that's great, but they need an offense to kind of complement that a little bit.
Dylan Montz with us of the Ames Tribune, previewing Iowa State and TCU. Where are the Cyclones from a health standpoint coming into Saturday's game?
Yeah, overall, pretty good. Obviously, Jaquan Bailey is one of the bigger ones right now. That's kind of still up in the air. I have a feeling he won't play. I think it's kind of trended that Matt Campbell said that he was questionable to doubtful. And so that's kind of some big shoes to fill. Zach Peterson seems like would be the guy to go step in there, and he's had a pretty good year so far. Colin Newell is still up in the air as well. He's kind of the other outstanding one that's maybe left out there. I don't know if he comes back quite yet either, but everybody else from the sound of it seems to be good. Tariq Milton, who missed the end of the Baylor game, is good to go. Kaneda Wongu has dealt with health issues, seemingly all season so far. Sounds like he's going to be ready to go and maybe shoulder a little bit more of the load at running back. So overall, pretty good, but a few guys that you can pinpoint, maybe especially Bailey, they're probably going to be missing the game.
I think it's safe to say at this point that David Montgomery's shoes are very difficult to fill at the running back position. Having said that, how important is it going to be for them to at least get some semblance of a consistent running game going?
Yeah, and I think that's part of maybe what I was talking about, too, with not being able to kind of really punch through on the plus side of the field with some of those drives. Hakeem Butler obviously was able to make plays for you as well, but David Montgomery, especially on the ground, was just able to give you such a compliment. And, you know, he's a tackle breaker. He's a tough runner. He's shifty. He could do all those things really well, and he stayed healthy for the most part. So Iowa State really hasn't had that guy yet. Obviously, that's been able to go get those kinds of yards. I think Kamei Nwangu overall has looked like their best back, but he's been injured. Sheldon Crony is maybe their best pass protector and most durable, but he's only getting you a couple yards at a time. I think he had 6 carries for 12 yards at Baylor. Johnny Lang showed some good things at Baylor, but he's still kind of small. And, can he take the hit after hit type of, you know, style that a feature back has to do? And then there's the two true freshmen as well who've kind of played on and off. So they're still kind of searching for who that guy could be. And, you know, different circumstances have kept each guy off the field. But they're going to need to find that kind of rhythm type of way to produce offense if they're going to really kind of reach their potential with that group. Because I think the pass offense has come out and done its part so far.
How would you grade the performance of Brock Purdy so far this season?
Yeah, I think obviously the first 3 quarters against Baylor struggled. I thought just was missing guys. The pass protection for the most part has been pretty good. He hasn't really had to kind of run for his life. So I thought that was maybe looked like as much as he struggled since last year against Texas, but came in the 4th quarter and performed really well. So I think his biggest asset is being able to shake off some of the mistakes he's made. But, with the lack of running game right now, he needs to be even more on point. And, you know, he's done a good job, for the most part. But there's not really much margin for error once you're talking about, the 75 or 80 yards per game that they get on the ground.
I know you mentioned earlier Hakeem Butler, and that was a big question mark coming into the year. Who's going to fill in the passing game? And the Tariq Milton and Deshaunte Jones have been outstanding, and so has LaMichael Petway. But how impressive have the tight ends also been from the reception standpoint? We really hadn't seen them get all that involved the past couple of seasons, and all of a sudden they are involved in this offense.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the talking points the last couple of years is when are these guys going to be really integrated in the offense? And I think combined with the loss of Butler and you know, just maybe their own maturation, they've been able to step into those roles. Charlie Kohler is in the top five for tight ends catches per game. Chase Allen, who's dealt with his own health issues, came in and made some crucial plays against Baylor. And Dylan Sainer doesn't get thrown to as much, but at 6'7", 270, he's kind of your versatile guy that can really be used all over the field. You can line him up in the backfield. You can play him attached. You can play him unattached if you wanted to. So all those guys are kind of like chess pieces and obviously have been able to produce so far. But I think Kohler has done a really nice job and maybe been, you know, if they get into the red zone, deep into the red zone, they can be those types of threats where you throw a jump ball to them and have them go get them. So with the loss of Butler, they're a nice complement to what their maybe more skilled guys are.
What was the biggest takeaway from you watching the Baylor game last weekend?
Yeah, I think probably just the choppiness of everything. It seemed like when the offense was not clicking, the defense obviously played pretty well for the most part, and there'd be a big play here or there that they gave up, but for the most part, were pretty solid. But then when the offense came on, it seemed like you know, the defense couldn't get off the field. So a lot of the talk this week was also about third down rates, both offensively and defensively. You know, and they've done well at times with that, but, you know, it's being able to get off the field in those crucial moments, especially defensively where, you know, late in the game, Baylor converts a third and nine to keep the drive alive. You're late in the fourth quarter and they end up going to score the game winning field goal. So I think a lot of it is just situationally being able to put yourself in good spots because the numbers seem like, you know, they should have maybe come and won that game ultimately with the way the fourth quarter turned out. But again, it's all situational and you got to be able to produce in those moments.
Yeah, third down, lack of turnovers have been a big story for this defense so far. But you think that you're going to see more teams like Baylor did sort of dink and dunk their way down the field in the passing game because it seemed to work for them at times on Saturday?
Yeah, it's finding spots open in the middle of the defense. And certainly in the past, we've seen running quarterbacks be able to affect the 3-3-5 look a little bit. So I think there's a couple of different ways. As good as the defense has been and as good as I think they'll continue to be this year, there are a few different ways to beat it. And the dink and dunk type of plays certainly do it. And then, you know, even this year, we've seen Will McElvain from UNI or even the Louisiana Monroe quarterback at times be able to do that. And then Charlie Brewer, I thought, was really effective for the most part. You know, and Nate Stanley even had a couple, you know, big conversions on third down, whether it was kind of throwing it across the middle or that third and long, he was able to convert with his legs. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a few different ways to do it. And, you know, those are kinds of the adjustments that the defensive staff is working through right now.
Can you tell me a player or two, Dylan, that has caught you by surprise this year with their performance early on, from a positive aspect?
Yeah, Orion Vance is probably one of the biggest ones on defense, I think, for me. He's a guy that's been talked about a lot and certainly played a key role last year as a reserve, but just the way he's been able to kind of shoot up the depth chart, especially in camp and come and produce the way he has. He's five and a half sacks through four games. He's just been like a madman out there, you know, running around. So really encouraging, I think, to see him go out and produce to the level he has with kind of some of the unknowns of that linebacker spot with Willie Harvey graduating and some of the shuffling that had to take place. So I think he's a bright spot. And then, you know, I'll go on offense. I think, you know, Deshaunte Jones is maybe not – he's not an unknown name, obviously, that came out of nowhere, but just the level of consistency that he's been able to play with I think was encouraging given – you kind of lose your main target last year and you knew you were going to have to rely on him quite a bit and he's been able to deliver. So I think those are probably two that come to mind first. And, you know, if I had time to maybe look a little bit more, there's a few others, but really impressive starts from those guys.
When you look at TCU and Max Duggan and Alex Delton and the struggles that they have had passing, at least on paper, does this look like a better matchup for Iowa State's defense than maybe Baylor with Charlie Brewer and an experienced quarterback was last week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to go stop the run. So I think, you know, TCU is not necessarily one-dimensional. I think they can throw it around a little bit if they wanted to, but they've really relied on the run so far because of their playmakers back there and some of the growing pains that their quarterbacks have gone through. So if you're able to really load the box, stop those two tailbacks, and then you know, force Duggan or even Alex Delton, if he's in there, to use their feet a little bit, make quick decisions, you know, rush them a little bit. I think it bodes well for you. So I think that's probably the main thing, is if you can stop the ground game, force them into some tough spots, some uneasy throws, you're going to give yourself a chance.
Dylan, appreciate it as always. And again, we'll have the Iowa State game this weekend on 1600 AM. Thanks a lot, Dylan.
Yep, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Iowa State fans, are you bristling at the idea that this is a must-win game this weekend? Because I think at 2-2, it is. It's not Texas, it's not Oklahoma, but you don't want to start 0-2 in Big 12 play. And that loss last week, that was, it's got to leave a sour feeling in your stomach. Because it was, A, the first half was abysmal. And then the second half, you have this furious comeback, and it certainly looks like Iowa State's going to do just enough on the road to get a victory over Baylor. And then a kicker who'd never made a field goal before in his
life.
John
Mayers. Say his name.
His name, John Mayers, kicks a field goal successfully, and it's the dagger through the heart for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones.
They need to play more consistent football. We see spurts, but we haven't seen a full game yet. And maybe against Louisiana Monroe, but that doesn't count right now. TCU, like I'm saying with Michigan and Iowa, TCU is a team that I think Iowa State matches up well with. I think that Iowa State could and should beat TCU at home. But the next 2 weeks after TCU, West Virginia and Texas Tech on the road, and then a three-game stretch of Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Texas. This is a must-win. I know where Iowa State thinks that this team can go. And like Dylan said, if they want to get back to that 7-8 win mark that they have sort of put themselves in the past couple of seasons, they need this one. It is a must win.
4:50, nothing changing so far in Atlanta. The Braves still on top of the Cardinals 1-0. If you're so inclined, you can listen to that game right now on 107.5 FM. Here on KGYM, we'll keep you up to date as to any changes that occur in the score. The Braves and Cardinals followed tonight by the Dodgers and the Nationals. Walker Buehler and Patrick Corbin, the announced starters in that series opener. The National League Divisional Series games today. The American League Divisional Series getting underway tomorrow. We'll take a quick timeout. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Hey guys, time to get ready for colder temps at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, Prestone pre-diluted antifreeze is just $9.99 a gallon, and concentrated antifreeze is $12.99.
Right, Hal. And a First Alert battery-powered carbon monoxide alarm or photoelectric smoke alarm with 10-year sealed lithium battery is just $24.99 now.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota L-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota L-Series tractors. With a powerful and reliable Kubota diesel engine, two superior transmission options, and optional performance matched implements, including front loader and backhoe, the L2501 can tackle any job. Kubota is a proud sponsor of Iowa State football and the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
4:53, we welcome you back in on this Thursday afternoon, October 3rd, 2019. Is this a real thing? Is it actually National Kevin Day? Everybody has a day. I'm still waiting for mine.
There's got to be National Todd Day. I just don't know about it.
Best Kevin in, well, it's Kevin Durant, right? You can't even have that conversation in
Kevin James?
In terms of sports, because if we stray from sports, people are going to yell at us. So it's not even fodder for sports talk radio. You can't throw it out there and say, best Kevin in sports. It's Kevin Durant. Are there any other Kevins? In sports. Don't go the non-sports route. I can't recall.
I'm just trying to think of Kevins at the level of Kevin Durant.
They don't exist.
I don't think they do.
So there you go. Cut and dried. We solved that one, didn't we? We got a conversation. We talked TCU, Iowa State football with Dylan Montz here in the 4 o'clock hour. 5:30 tonight, we have Football Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf joining the program, the former offensive lineman for the St. Louis Cardinals, the color commentator for the University of Michigan, owes his career at Michigan to former Iowa Athletic Director Bump Elliott, and is always gracious with his time with us here in Eastern Iowa. And we look forward to catching up with him and getting his thoughts on whether or not this game is more important to Michigan or Iowa this weekend. You can make the argument it's more important to Michigan than it is the Hawkeyes.
You can make a very strong argument. In fact, I am curious to hear what Dan has to say, because I think a lot of people at Michigan feel that way. They need this game. Just like I said, Iowa State needs that TCU win. Michigan needs to get their season back on track, and they need to beat a marquee opponent. And I'm not talking about a top five opponent. I'm not talking about a top 10 opponent. Right now, I'm talking about a top 15 opponent in the Iowa Hawkeyes at home, and a team that plays a very similar style as Wisconsin did. If they get run over again, whew, the Jim Harbaugh discussion is going to reach a fever pitch.
That'll be our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Who needs the win more this weekend, Michigan or Iowa? And I guess another question would be, is there another name in sports history that has a bigger gulf between one and two? Kevin Durant and everybody else, because Kevin Mitchell and Kevin Elster are getting thrown around on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line right now, and those guys couldn't even hold Kevin Durant's jockstrap.
I don't think Kevin Garnett was a great player.
Okay, Kevin Garnett, there's
not Kevin Durant like.
Okay, so there we go.
Great player.
The gulf has closed between the best Kevin and the second best Kevin.
Kevin Garnett is the closest name that I'm getting at this point.
There were not a tremendous number of Todds playing sports when I was growing up, but I do have at home, inherited from my cousin, an Oakland Raiders helmet, which I turned into a Todd Christensen helmet. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's on tap in the 5 o'clock hour. Back after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Yeah, I feel kind of stupid forgetting about a guy whose autographed jersey I have framed in my basement, but Kevin McHale, the former Minnesota standout who went on to have a pretty good career in the NBA with my favorite team, the Boston Celtics. I'm just glad that wasn't Ed in Iowa City that pointed that out. Otherwise, I would feel doubly stupid.
Isn't that who Fran McCaffrey compared Luka Garza to?
It, among other... For I can't keep track of all of Fran's NBA comparisons, but there was a Kevin McHale.
I have a sheet in there where I have them all written down.
We have a spreadsheet that we keep track of. Kevin Tappany, former Twins and Cubs right-hander. Kevin Nash, 1702, coming over the top rope with the former NWO member, the Outsiders. Go with that. I like Kevin Nash. I'm a big fan. 319-366-1600, Kevin Boyle, the former Hawkeye, current color commentator with Gary Rima on UNI Basketball Broadcasts. Thank you very much, Cyclone Tim. You never know what people are going to take and run with. So if your name is Kevin and you're listening to us on 1600 AM or 106.3 FM right now, happy National Kevin Day. We don't have any Kevins lined up tonight. We've got a Joe. Joe Sheehan's going to be by at 6:05 tonight to discuss the Major League Baseball postseason with us. And we've got a Dan Dierdorf, the Hall of Famer and color commentator for Michigan Radio, set to join us at 5:30 tonight. But when we return, it's time for a Thursday staple. Would you leads off the 5 o'clock hour after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
It was kind of assumed that once Daniel Hemric was released from RCR for next year that Tyler Reddick would take over that ride, and indeed, that's the case. Look for Tyler behind the wheel of their number 8 machine. Reddick is, of course, the defending Xfinity Series champion from last year and is in the thick of this year's championship hunt with 5 wins on the season so far. Not too bad. Here's Tyler.
I think Chris Rebell, Cole Custer, and maybe one or two others. But we've been working really hard on our short track program, and we made big gains over the summer, second time going back to Iowa. Dover is a little bit of a wild card. You can wreck a million different ways around that racetrack. You get wrecked a million different ways. So you just got to be smart through that race. We have a really good points cushion. I would feel like when all this is going to reset, we're going to be up 40 points or so on a lot of these guys. So if we're smart, we should be able to outrun them on a consistent basis. We just don't want to get caught up in a wreck early on in a race and lose a lot of points.
All right, now Busch Beer is stripping their name off of Kevin Harvick's car for this weekend and replacing it with their driver's last name as some sort of promotion, saying in reference to the Busch brothers, quote, "Turns out we're not the only ones named Busch. So we're taking a break from giving those other guys free advertising and giving Kevin Harvick the spotlight. Look for the Harvick car this weekend at Dover." Strange stuff there.
The final lap.
Welcome back to Amazon Prime One-Day Delivery Trivia. Now to the next question. If Adam can get a chainsaw in one day with Amazon Prime One-Day Delivery, and Sharon can get a leaf blower in one day with One-Day Delivery, what are the odds their neighbor will order noise-canceling headphones with Amazon Prime One-Day Delivery? Yes, Sarah.
Pretty good.
Correct. Introducing One-Day Delivery from Amazon Prime. Order from millions of items. Peace and quiet delivered.
You're in charge of hiring,
And Indeed has solutions, like company pages where you can get people excited about working for you. And we give you this toy monkey, which will bang its cymbals when the right resume appears. Okay, there is no monkey.
I said there is no monkey!
But company pages, for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo to try company pages for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This final app update was brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need for your health care needs. Visit CarePROHealthServices.com.
Monday.
Night, honey. Did you clean your CPAP machine today?
I'll do it tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Night, hon. Did you?
Just can't seem to find the time.
Maybe it's time for a soul clean machine from CarePro.
I think you're right.
And Friday.
Well?
This thing is amazing. So clean, so fresh, and it kills 99.9% of germs and bacteria. Now I'll sleep really well.
So will I.
Sleep even better with your CPAP or BiPAP with a soul clean machine from CarePro. Stop in to purchase one or get more details at CarePROHealthServices.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
5:04, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 106.3 FM as well. 107.5 FM currently has St. Louis and Atlanta, the National League Divisional Series underway in the suburbs of Atlanta. The Braves still on top 1-0 in that game, and we'll keep you abreast of any changes as we move on towards 7 o'clock this evening. We do have the poll question up for you at KGYMradio.com. Who needs the win more on Saturday, Iowa or Michigan? Poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue, located right behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Before we get to Woodja, something has become evident to me in the discussion of sports Kevins here on National Kevin Day. The vast majority of superior Kevins are concentrated in professional basketball. Kevin Durant, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Love, and Kevin McHale.
That's surprising.
We've got Kevin Harvick. We had Kevin Nash. There are some other Kevins that have been thrown out there. Kevin Euclid.
Kevin Carter.
Kevin Casper, for those of you who want to make it an Iowa thing, a Hawkeye thing. But the greatness of Kevins seem to be distilled into one particular sport. Think about it. 319-36, or don't. Please don't. It's one of those short segments. The way the program is structured is you've got two longer segments and a shorter segment, occasionally two shorter segments. And the short segments are oftentimes filled with Phil. And that, no, Phil, not Kevin, Phil. And that was what I reached out to. I grabbed onto that like a life preserver, bobbing in the ocean in risk of drowning. I'll grab onto National Kevin Day. And now here we are, 12 minutes later. 319-366-1600 is the Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line. Stick with us. There is actual sports to discuss. Dan Dierdorf coming up with us at 5:30 tonight. We'll get you another big board update with Kyle as well toward the bottom of the hour. That's brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. But first, with the baseball postseason underway, much of which you can catch right here on KGYM, we've got another managerial opening to discuss today. The New York Mets, after two seasons of Mickey Callaway at the helm, have decided that they would be better off in year number three without Mickey Callaway at the helm. There are now seven managerial openings in Major League Baseball, Alex. You have the New York Mets, who parted ways with Callaway. The Chicago Cubs have moved on from Joe Maddon. They did not renew his contract. The San Francisco Giants saw Bruce Bochy retire at the end of the 2019 season. The Angels just fired Brad Ausmus, the belief there that they will hire Maddon. The San Diego Padres were the first to pull the trigger at the end of the season. They got rid of Andy Green. Pittsburgh dumped Clint Hurdle. And the Royals are looking for a replacement for the retiring Ned Yost. So today's Would Ya, and you are invited to join the conversation as well on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line or by picking up the phone and giving us a call, 319-366-1600. Which one of those openings would you say is the most attractive? I think the answer is obvious, but I want to hear what you have to say, and I want to hear what the listeners feel the answer is.
I think that our answers are going to be the same. I look at San Diego and a situation where you're in a small market in one of the most beautiful cities in the country and a talent pool of up-and-coming young players where you can get in there on the ground floor. They're coming off of a season where they thought that they may be able to win some games. They didn't, but Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, some of the young pitchers that are coming up through the system. I understand Eric Hosmer has been somewhat disappointing in his tenure in San Diego, but that is a team that you, just a fresh voice, I think will help out quite a bit. And a bunch of young pitching that the reason they didn't win a lot of games last year is because their pitching was so bad. A lot of their young pitching is now coming up through the minor league. So I look at San Diego, and I see a very attractive option for Joe Maddon. And you noticed right away, the Padres and the Angels both quickly fired their managers in what I believe is an attempt to go after Joe Maddon.
7813 on the text line says San Diego is the choice there as well. I like the Padres. 7813 on the text line is saying, talking about referencing the great young players, the farm system that you touched on there. Great potential, great setup, great farm system. 7813. You got the Dodgers in the NL West, and that's about it. I think I was a year early. I had them getting a wild card this year in the National League, and I admitted that I was a little too all in on Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres, but there were a lot of people who raised their eyebrows and snickered a little bit when Manny Machado chose to sign there. And lo and behold, it looks like he's going to be poised to be positioned to play for a championship in the not-too-distant future, provided that they get the right person in there to push those buttons. And until the Angels dumped Brad Ausmus, I would have said that Joe Maddon was almost a lock to wind up in San Diego. Now I think he's going to go to L.A., and that organization has a soft spot in his heart. He was a player and a coach for the Angels for 30 years. He's got a great relationship with Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels. Let's go ahead and cross a couple of these teams off the list. One of them being the Pirates. The dysfunction in Pittsburgh at the end of this season, I don't think can be rectified by putting a new voice in the manager's office there. They fired today, by the way, Ray Searidge, who up until recently was widely regarded as one of the best pitching coaches in baseball. And apparently, he is out looking for work, as are a number of other Pirates coaches. Ray Searidge, who worked very closely with Mitch Keller this season when he made his Major League debut. The Pirates, not an attractive job. And I got to be honest with you.
I think I know where you're going with this next one.
until the ownership changes with the Mets. I don't know whether I would be inclined to take that job or not. If I were a manager and I had my pick of offerings, I just don't know whether there's enough there, especially with the ownership. And they do have a tendency to be a little too involved in the daily running of the franchise. It's a major market. There's money there. You know they're going to sign free agents. But I would steer clear of the Mets.
It's the Mets are the ultimate catch-22, right? Where you're a manager, and I know coaches at this level, managers at this level think, you know what, I'm going to be the person to turn this thing around. It's going to be me. I'm the reason that they're not, that this team is not performing well, because they haven't gotten me into this clubhouse to help turn things around. You look at this roster and you say, this is a heck of a pitching staff. I can work with this. And they always go out, the ownership always goes out and tries to supplement their roster with some old, aging, yet, yeah, we'll call it what it is, some aging has-beens at times. And you go into opening day thinking, we have a chance. And injuries, no matter who's managing, no matter who the training staff is, they always happen. I don't know why, but that team just has trouble staying healthy. So it's one of those situations. You look on paper and you say, this is a pretty good situation. Then you look behind the scenes, you look at the ownership and the track record of injuries, and it's kind of a haunting situation for a new manager coming into it.
I take a look at the seven job openings, and I think there are two that you can pretty much consider closed at the moment. The Angels, who I do believe are going to win the Joe Maddon sweepstakes. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot for them to convince him to take that job. Who wouldn't want to manage the most exciting player, the best all-around player in the game, possibly in the game's history, in Mike Trout? You've got Shohei Ohtani. You've got some young, talented players coming up through the minor leagues like Joe Adell, who is going to make a name for himself at some point during the 2020 season. So Maddon and the Angels seem like a spectacular fit. And I know Mike Matheny's name surfaced with the Mets earlier today, given the ties to the University of Michigan and the Wilpon family. But is Matheny in Kansas City not a marriage that seems almost made in heaven at this point?
You would think so.
Sorry, Royals fans.
I don't really understand it. I know that people point to the track record of success that he had early on in his career, riding the coattails of Jeff Luhnow and Tony La Russa. I don't see it as a very good fit, especially in a big market. Could you imagine what the New York media would do to Mike Matheny?
They would chew him up and spit him out.
There's no other way to say it. So I think Kansas City would be a better option for Matheny. They would be a terrible fit in New York.
Maddon to the Mets.
For many reasons.
Says 6497 on the text line. I don't see it at this point with the Angels being available. I do think the Mets would offer him, basically, they'd give him the Andre Dawson deal, slide a blank check across the table and say, what do you want to manage this team? And there is a bit of ego involved with Joe Maddon. And keep in mind that I highly respect and adore this guy and have been a big fan of his since he was managing in the Angels organization and coaching there before he even got the Tampa Bay job. But he does have a little bit of an ego, and I could see him wanting to remain on that big stage. And the Mets offer the biggest stage here, other than the Cubs, and they're off the table because they didn't offer to renew him. The Angels are an LA team in name only. They are number two in that market, and it's not even close between the Dodgers and the Angels. And the rest of the teams are. So if I'm Maddon, do I look at the Mets? The Mets would be three. If I'm Maddon, I want to go to the Angels. I'd be really intrigued by the Padres, and the Mets would be number three for me.
It's got to be Girardi in New York, doesn't it?
Girardi's name is surfacing in both the Cubs opening and the Mets opening. And I see one of those organizations being dumb enough to pay top dollar for Joe Girardi. And I don't think it's going to be the Cubs. I think he desperately wants the Cubs job. You take a look at some of the people who are conveniently mentioning him in the media, David Kaplan and Steve Stone, both who have ties to Joe Girardi, who are working to get his name out there. There seems to be a campaign, and there's always going to be a section of the fan base, any fan base, that wants the next manager or head coach to have been a former player. It's really important to some people that the manager at some point in time wore that team's uniform. I'm not one of those people. I could not care less that Joe Girardi was catching alongside of Rick Rona and Damon Berryhill back in the late 90s and early. It just doesn't matter to me. But there are Cubs fans out there that want Joe Girardi. It's not going to happen. He's not on the same page with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. Do I see Joe Girardi taking the Mets job if it's offered to him? Probably in a heartbeat. And I see the same thing befalling him that's happened to Jerry Manuel and Mickey Callaway and Willie Randolph and Art Howe. How many other Bobby Valentine? How many other Mets managers am I missing there over the last 15 seasons? Until you've got the same ownership and you can change managers all you want, you still have the same problem. The fish rots from the head down. Isn't that the saying? 319-366-1600. So Matheny to the Royals, Madden to the Angels. I don't want to say Girardi to the Mets is all but a done deal, but if they offered to him, I think that's where he would ultimately go. Still intrigued by what the Cubs are going to do here. They seem to have not much of a timetable. One of the names that has surfaced, and I mentioned this particular guy a couple days ago, is Josh Bard, who is the bench coach for Aaron Boone in New York. Josh Bard was a backup catcher for the Boston Red Sox when Theo Epstein was the general manager there and is learning under Aaron Boone right now. Aaron Boone is a guy who got plucked from the TV booth at ESPN and put into a dugout and has successfully guided the Yankees in year one to a postseason and a very high seed, although they will have their hands full tomorrow with the Minnesota Twins. I took the Yankees to win that series, but I do think it's going to be a challenge for them. I think the Twins are going to give them maybe even a full five-game series. We'll wait and see.
I would love that. The Twins, just to at least get the demons of being swept out of the playoffs by the Yankees multiple times out of the way.
Ann in Solon brings up an interesting question on the text line. Are we ever going to see another player manager in Major League Baseball?
I don't know if this Mike Schilt thing doesn't work out in St. Louis.
Yachty,
player manager? No, I had to troll. I had to troll you all with that one. I feel like we're closer now than we've been in a long time, right?
Pete Rose was the last player manager, right? I think maybe Mike Jorgensen did it for a little bit. I know Don Kessinger in the 70s with the Chicago White Sox when he was at the end of his career. I don't think the role of manager is as important today as it was back in the days of Sparky Anderson and Earl Weaver and even Bobby Cox. I think, and that's why you're seeing this. Is it year two for Aaron Boone? It is, isn't it?
It is year two.
This is the second time this week where I seem to have completely lost the 2018 Major League Baseball season from my memory.
Who won the World Series in the 2018 baseball season?
The Red Sox did.
The Red Sox.
And they were awful this year. Well, they weren't awful this year, but they took a huge step back.
Maybe it's just a forgettable year. Maybe it's not just you.
I don't know. I'm starting to think my brain is turning to Swiss cheese on me here. But Aaron Boone, regardless, 2 years ago, plucked from the TV booth and placed in the dugout. You see this?
Are we moving away from this David Ross discussion with the Cubs?
No, I still think David Ross is the, I think he's the number one target. I think there are some other options out there. They said internally Mark Loretta and Will Venable, not to be confused with Will Venables. I think they'd be an excellent choice. There are a couple guys, the Josh Bard is one of them that I mentioned. Whoever the next manager of the Cubs is, I don't think it matters, because as long as they're on the same page as the front office, the results are going to be roughly the same. And the person that gets that job is going to have to come in, not necessarily guns blazing, but they're going to have to light a fire under that team. And it's very easy to see in hindsight, they won the World Series in 2016 and they got complacent. And everybody sort of wrote off 2017 as, well, it's a hangover. It's a World Series hangover. And then 2018, there was another set of excuses, in 2019, and you see just sort of the gradual decline of this, what some people, not myself, but other people thought was going to be a baseball dynasty. It doesn't work that way. The sport is not set up to support dynasties the way that, say, the NFL or the NBA is. That team got a little too big for its britches, and I think they started to coast, and they had the wrong guy at the helm after 2016 for that mentality to creep in, because Madden was always a hands-off, doesn't want to harsh the vibe of the clubhouse. What they need is somebody who's going to come in and overturn the occasional pregame spread. Not to say that that's a long-term solution, because that type of managing usually has a very short shelf life, but that's what they did in Boston after they parted ways with Terry Francona. Didn't necessarily work out the way that the Red Sox wanted to, but you see that pendulum shift all the time from somebody who's, you know, a hard driver to, okay, we'll bring somebody in who's not necessarily going to coddle the team, but he's more player-friendly. And then that doesn't work out, and you go back in the other direction. It'll be fascinating to see. By the way, the one job that didn't get mentioned there is the Phillies, who have not yet parted ways with Gabe Kapler. But everybody seems to believe that they are close to doing so. And maybe with Joe Madden looking like he's going to go to the Angels, maybe they decide that they'll just ride out another year of Gabe Kapler. But I think he's on a pretty hot seat at this point. Bruce Bochy going back to San Diego intrigues me.
Is he done managing?
If I were him, I would just enjoy retirement with my size 8 head or whatever it is. He's widely known to have one of the largest heads in baseball history. He won a game with the Padres as a player, and they put a 6-pack of beer on ice in his helmet, and the 6-pack and the ice fit into his helmet. That's how large his lid is. That's his first managerial job. He had a tremendous amount of success there, led the Padres to the World Series in 1998. Maybe if I'm Bruce Bochy, I at least pick up the phone and listen. But that San Diego job is the pick of the litter. To get back to the original premise of would you today, I think the Padres job is clearly the most attractive. And then it's probably down to the Cubs and the Angels, with maybe the Mets in the mix. But they all have their warts. The Mets have a terrible ownership situation. The Cubs have some big question marks in the years ahead, with Chris Bryant of 1 year closer to free agency. Theo Epstein himself is sort of a wandering gypsy from job to job every 8 to 10 years. How much longer is the general manager going to be there? And then you take a job and Theo leaves or moves on, and you got to deal with a guy who didn't hire you. And then the Angels, intriguing from the standpoint of they have Mike Trout, they have Shohei Ohtani, they have some young players coming up in the farm system, but they're also lacking sorely in starting pitching. And that's a big problem for me, especially when you're in the same division as the Houston Astros. 319-366-1600. We'll continue discussing baseball with Joe Sheehan, the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter, among other publications which he contributes to. You read him in Baseball America from time to time. He's going to be with us tonight at 6:05. Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf will join the program next. He's going to preview Saturday's Iowa-Michigan game at the Big House in Ann Arbor. But first, Kyle's with us in the studio for the second time today. He's going to bring you a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out. They have two locations in Iowa City, one on 420th Street and also an interiors showroom on South Gilbert Street.
With all the injuries to Iowa's secondary, the leadership and stability that Michael Ojemudia has provided so far this year has been critical to Iowa's defensive success. But even more than that, it turns out Ojemudia is putting the clamps down on receivers as well. Data gathered by Pro Football Focus shows that among cornerbacks at Power 5 schools targeted at least 13 times, Ojemudia is third in the country, allowing a passer rating of just 21.8. The Iowa volleyball team hosted 7th-ranked Minnesota last night and actually took the first set 25-18 before dropping the next three. It doesn't get much easier from here, as next for them is 5th-ranked Penn State in State College on Saturday. The Cyclone volleyball team, though, dispatched Kansas in straight sets last night. They moved to 10-4 on the season and will also be on the road on Saturday at West Virginia. You remember the name Michael Dyer? He was a 5-star running back recruit who played at Auburn and won a national championship with Cam Newton. He later wound up at Louisville and spent time with the Oakland Raiders, but he's now a Cedar Rapids River King. If you recall, with the score tied at 19 with just 2 minutes remaining in that 2010 BCS National Championship game, it was Dyer as a freshman who rolled over and out of a tackle for a 37-yard run that put Auburn in position to kick a game-winning field goal, earning him offensive MVP honors. You're hearing the show right now on either 1600 AM or 106.3 FM, and that's because over on 107.5 FM, we've got the Braves hosting the Cardinals for Game 1 of their divisional series. And then after the show, we've got two nice high school matchups for you. Jefferson's hosting second-ranked Cedar Falls, and that's going to be on 1600 and 107.5, and City High travels to Davenport North on 106.3.
All right, thank you very much, Kyle. It is still 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning now. Between the, or I should say the top of the fifth inning, between the Cardinals and the Braves. Whoever wins will have the upper hand early in that divisional series. Walker Buehler draws the start tonight for the Dodgers in Game 1 as they host the Washington Nationals. Former Cedar Rapids Colonels hurler Patrick Corbin getting the start for the Nationals in Game 1 of that series. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. It's been active today, talking primarily about athletes named Kevin.
And we've gotten a couple more suggestions for the Cubs managerial position.
None of them are good. Let's put it that way.
Well, the last two, Jim Leland and Lou Piniella.
Jim Leland is on a beach somewhere working his way through a carton of Marlboros. He has better things to do than manage the Cubs. And Lou Piniella, we've been there, we've done that. And I'll leave it at that. We did learn, however, today that BJ and Marion has a size 8 head. So he is the Bruce Bochy of KGYM listeners. You could probably usually get a good deal on hats
when
you're
borrow,
a size 8.
Can we borrow a hat of yours, BJ, to see if we can fit a 6-pack in there?
How many times you go and you see hats are on sale and you're like, oh, I'm going to go look and it's like 6 1/4 and size 8. Those are the two sizes that they have. You either have an insanely small head or you have the largest size that they traditionally make and offer for sale. Dan Dierdorf is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, played his entire pro career with the St. Louis Cardinals as a tremendous offensive lineman. Prior to that, though, he played college football for Bo Schembechler at the University of Michigan. He's now the color commentator for Michigan radio broadcasts on the football side of things, along with Jim Brandstatter. Dan's going to join us next. Does he think Iowa or Michigan needs a win more this weekend? We'll ask him that and next as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Diamond earrings have bombshell beauty, yet everyday ease. They are equally comfortable, adding a touch of glamour to a formal gown or fitting in with your favorite jeans. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers understands this beautiful contradiction about diamond stud earrings. So they carry all sizes, in white, gold, platinum, and yellow gold. And because they've been helping people find just the right pair for so many years, the best thing they offer might just be their advice. Whether it's a pair for you or a gift for someone you think is rather special, there is just no wrong time for diamond earrings from Hertin & Stocker Jewelers. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years, with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank, connection is here. Member FDIC.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Thursday. We are one day closer to Iowa and Michigan, Iowa's biggest test so far this season, and it should be a good one. We'll preview it for you at 9 a.m. on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. That's Saturday morning. We'll preview it right now with the man who is the color commentator for Michigan's radio team. You know him as Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf. He's joined us before on the program. Always appreciative of him taking the time to lend his expertise. And Dan, this is a pretty big game for both teams this weekend, is it not?
Well, yeah, it really is. Probably a bigger game for us than it is for you, considering that we've already got one Big Ten loss. So if we lose in Ann Arbor Saturday afternoon to you guys, we're up against it, because we'd be 1-2 in the Big Ten, and still with the strength of our Eastern Division games to go, that's not a good place to be.
Dan, what are the things for this team that need to get fixed very quickly if they want to have the season in the Big Ten that we all thought that they could have preseason?
Well, you know, when we played Wisconsin, we lost that game for two reasons. One is we couldn't run the ball, and two, we couldn't defend the run. And two things that, at the mere mention, probably caused Bo Schembechler to do corkscrews in his grave. That was always the strength of the Michigan program, was being able to do both. And so far this season, we haven't done either as consistently as the team would like. And it's going to start right there. We got beat handily by Wisconsin on both lines of scrimmage, and this is going to be a big test as to whether we learned our lesson on that you can't win a football game without winning the line of scrimmage. And Iowa's going to give us just as stern a test as Wisconsin did.
How much do you know or have you seen of the Hawkeyes so far this season?
Well, just what I've seen on film. I've watched them play a couple times. It's not like the NFL where you really delve into a team doing radio for the same team all year long. It's a little different approach. But I've watched Iowa enough to realize you're strong where you need to be strong. You're getting great quarterback play from Stanley. He's just one of those guys where outside the Big Ten and outside people who play Iowa, I'm not sure there's a quarterback in America who operates farther below the radar than Nate Stanley. I mean, his numbers are outstanding. Wearing your uniforms, if you just didn't look closely, you'd swear you were looking at Ben Roethlisberger. He's a huge guy. And so, what a great place to start. And you're getting quality offensive line play, and your defense is rock solid. And I know the Epinesa kid hasn't taken off yet this year in terms of gaudy numbers, but he's drawing double and triple teams, and he's making life easy for other people. You've got a lot of good football players, and guess what? Nothing unusual that you're solid all the way across.
Josh Gattis, the first-year offensive coordinator, came in, and I thought he was brought in to kind of facilitate Shea Patterson's skill set, run more RPOs, and spread things out a little bit. But just the running game in general that you brought up earlier, how much is the lack of running game really hindering this offense?
Well, yeah, it really, we're averaging less than 4 yards a carry in college football. That's just really substandard. And it is a new system. It's an entirely new system. There's not a team in college football, I think, that has undergone more of an offensive change than we have. We've completely discarded the pro-style offense that we ran. The offense, it looks, by the way, a lot like yours, with multiple tight ends and fullbacks and all this and all that. We now have gone to a complete spread where the plays come in from the sidelines. And in that spread offense, the running game that Alabama runs it and most everybody else runs it, but there are a lot of read plays where the running back is actually taking the handoff where he's going parallel to the line of scrimmage. And it's not the old downhill running game that that we're used to. And it's going to take a while. And I'm not sure it'll even happen by this Saturday. You don't install a completely new offense, especially one as radically different as the one we're running now, and think that it's just going to come exploding out of the gate looking like you've been doing it for years. And that's the million-dollar question. How long is it going to take this Michigan offense to get comfortable with the new system and hit its stride?
The show that was on before us yesterday had Brandy. We have Dan Dierdorf. We are a Doug Karsh appearance away from sounding like a Michigan radio affiliate here. Dan Dierdorf joining us on a Thursday afternoon previewing Iowa and Michigan. Where is this game going to be won on Saturday from Michigan's perspective?
Well, it's going to be won or lost on the line of scrimmage. This is going to be an old-fashioned football game. I don't think there's any doubt that Iowa thinks. If this game was in Iowa City or in Ann Arbor, it doesn't make any difference. They feel they can come and impose their will on this Michigan football team. They watched the Wisconsin game, and they saw the Badgers do exactly that. Michigan turned in as bad of a performance on both sides of the football in Madison, Wisconsin, a couple weeks ago, that I have ever seen. And they know it. They know it's out there on tape. They know it's there for the viewing for all their opponents. And I know they played well against Rutgers last week. But this game against Iowa is going to be it's going to be where we start to get measured seriously again. And big game for you guys, huge game for the University of Michigan.
So we talked about the offense and the offensive line. What about the defense and the defensive line? Because you mentioned that was a problem against Wisconsin. Is this sort of growing pains for some young guys after losing Devin Bush and Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich? Or can this defense be that top 10 to 15 defense that we've seen from them the past 3 or 4 years?
Well, we did lose a lot of talent. And you know, we had a five-star defensive tackle, a kid named Aubrey Solomon, who he transferred. He's at Tennessee. I guarantee he's regretting that decision. But the reality is yes, we have a lot of new, we have a lot of new faces, and we had a couple guys banged up. Now they're coming back and they're getting to be a little healthier. But we had an extraordinary player at middle linebacker. I mean, Winovich was a really good player. Rashawn Gary is as good of an athlete as we've had come through Ann Arbor in a long time. But we had a linebacker named Devin Bush, what you mentioned, who may be the best defensive player that Michigan's had in the last 10 or 15 years. And in him is a chore. And I think not just in his production on the field, but I think the defense, he was the heartbeat of this defense, and we haven't replaced him yet.
Dan, you already said that this is a big game for Michigan. We were talking, listening yesterday to Jim Brandstatter on the gym class here, which precedes us, and he was asked about the importance of this game for Jim Harbaugh and whether or not people in Ann Arbor are getting a little restless with him as a coach. And Brandy said maybe that's a national thing, but there in Ann Arbor, people are still happy with Jim Harbaugh. Is that the case?
Yeah, I people love to talk nationally about hot seats and all this and all that. Jim Harbaugh can stay at the University of Michigan as long as he would like. And the reality is he's won 10 games every year. It's the albatross of not beating Ohio State that is really dragging him down. And there's no pressure on Jim Harbaugh other than the pressure he's putting on himself. Now, this is his fifth year, and every kid here has been recruited by Jim Harbaugh. And let's put it this way. It's not a year where we expect to regress, and that's why I'm very hopeful that this team is going to put that Wisconsin loss in the rearview mirror and start climbing the hill rather than sliding down it.
We told you we'd keep you for 10 minutes and not a second more, and I don't lie to a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to start today. Dan Dierdorf, we appreciate it as always, and good luck and have fun on the call with Brandy on Saturday. We'll be listening.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's always fun to play Iowa. I love old-fashioned football. I love a football team that's prepared the right way, and Kirk has done a great job with this program. And of course, your old athletic director was a big part of my life. Bump Elliott was the reason I went to the University of Michigan. So I've always had a little soft spot for you guys.
All right. Well, not too soft of a spot. We'll hear that on Saturday.
No, believe me, that was really gratuitous on my part. But I really meant it about Bump Elliott.
Dan, we appreciate it as always. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you got it. All right, bye-bye.
A Hall of Famer, Dan Dierdorf, played his entire career with the St. Louis Cardinals after matriculating from Michigan. And Bo Schembechler rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
It's not an image that I expected to have conjured up today on this radio program, but
no,
there you go.
I love hearing from the old school football guys like Dan Dierdorf, who played at a different time. And it just think about this. You've seen Michigan for, 50 years now. You've seen how they've done things for all this time. And all of a sudden you see their offense going with the RPO spread scheme, where they're not running the ball, they can't run the ball, and they're getting gashed for 360 yards on the ground by Wisconsin. That's disconcerting for somebody who's been around that program for so long and seen how they've done things for so long. But at some point, There is a point where everyone has to evolve and get with the times.
You think there's any old school football player from the Dan Dierdorf era that wouldn't look at Iowa and respect the way that Kirk?
No.
That's an old school football program. That's why those guys
no.
like Iowa. Michigan was able to get healthy last week with a 52-0 win over Rutgers. But as we will detail on Saturday morning, previewing this game a little bit more in depth on Before the Boom, that 35-14 loss a couple weeks ago at Camp Randall Stadium, Wisconsin put the blueprint out there. Any other team that wants to follow it has a path to victory over the Wolverines, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Iowa has an offensive line this year that can try to do that, can try to line up hat on a hat and run the football. That's what Wisconsin did. They made no mistake about what they were trying to do. They brought in a lot of two tight end sets. They brought in their fullback. They ran the ball with Groshek. They're do everything H-back, fullback, running back. They, of course, handed the ball a lot to Jonathan Taylor. They brought in defensive tackles to play fullback. They were going to pound it at Michigan until Michigan quit. And they got Michigan to quit.
I don't think Michigan's going to quit this weekend
no.
against the Hawkeyes. I am expecting a good game. And we will again preview that for you on our FM frequencies, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, beginning at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Kickoff is set for 11 o'clock on Fox. And I know that has some folks here in Eastern Iowa a little bit concerned, because depending on who your provider is, you may or may not be able to see the game.
I've heard this all week, and I just thought about this.
It's going to be.
Got to figure out how I'm going to see this game.
Yeah, well, it was asked. Gary Barta was asked about this last week, and he didn't seem too concerned about it after Kirk Ferentz's news conference. But you're going to have a lot of people across the state of Iowa, depending on who their television provider is, that may or may not get out the rabbit ears, is what Mark Dukes would say. I've got a pair at my house and have been able to watch things uninterrupted on the various networks that you do or do not have access to, but something to keep in the back of your mind as Iowa and Michigan kick off at 11 a.m. on Saturday. The Hawkeyes have won 5 of the last 6 meetings, but sort of ancient history, right? Because the win that started that streak all the way back in 2009, they've only played one time between now and 2013, and that was 2016. So one time in the last 5-6 years have these two teams met. Iowa, I don't think, is going to be intimidated going into Ann Arbor.
No, I think that they believe they're the better team right now. And something that Dan said that sort of reinforced my belief that they should win this game, that they can and possibly should win this game, is the offense. As Dan said, you do something for so long offensively, you run something for so long, and then all of a sudden you switch things up because you think you have a quarterback that can run the spread. You think that all of a sudden, after however long it's been, 6-7 decades of running one thing, you're going to be good right away at this new system. Imagine if Iowa decided tomorrow, yeah, we're going to bring in Chip Kelly to be our offensive coordinator. We're going to spread things out and run that offense. Yeah, they probably wouldn't be very good at it either. And that's why I'm thinking this year, it may be a while before we see Michigan running that offense to the best of their abilities.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach us here in the studio. Again, a little bit of a change of plans. We did call an audible today. We tried to let you know about it yesterday, but we are in studio today. That means we will be at Mulligan's next Thursday, a week from today, for the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. The Major League Baseball postseason is in full swing with the National League taking center stage today. We will chat all things MLB, including the latest managerial opening in Flushing, with Joe Sheehan coming up at 6:05 tonight. So don't go anywhere. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM on the way.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic.
keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
5:53. Welcome back in the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM at the moment. That's because 107.5 FM currently occupied with St. Louis and Atlanta. That game is tied up at one run apiece. The Braves threatened in the bottom of the fifth inning with a double by Ronald Acuna Jr., but Miles Michaelis able to wriggle off the hook. So looks like a barn burner in Atlanta for game one of that series. Joe Sheehan's coming up with us at 6:05 tonight. We'll get his thoughts on the Cardinals, Braves, and more at that point.
Good start to the series. Interesting game so far.
It is, yeah. Miles Michaelis showed up. I think there was some concern from some Cardinals fans. Maybe sitting across from one of them right now, but you got the good Miles Michaelis today. Unfortunately, you got the good Dallas Keuchel from Atlanta. The Cardinals are still riding with Michaelis on the mound. The Braves have already dipped into their bullpen, so Dallas Keuchel is done for the day. Former Colonels pitcher Darren O'Day out of the bullpen for the Atlanta Braves. So we'll see how this thing plays out. Should be a good one, and that game between the Dodgers and Nationals tonight should be equally entertaining as well. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We've been primarily baseball heavy today, but there is a Thursday night football game on tap tonight as well, and that features Seattle and the Rams. Seattle, a 1.5-point favorite tonight against the Rams, and see a lot of people siding with Seattle. They think that's going to be a tough road game for Sean McVay and the Rams to go in, face that crowd, always fired up in Seattle, but especially on a Thursday or Monday night football type setting. Should be a pretty good atmosphere there tonight. And as you mentioned, Russell Wilson is really good at his job.
Yes, he is. I was one of those doubters. I am no longer a doubter. The guy finds ways to win, and especially at home. So I would be siding right now if I had to pick with the Seattle Seahawks, but hopefully we get another entertaining Thursday night matchup between two division rivals.
There is also college football tonight, too. I believe ECU
and
Temple on ESPN this evening.
My game of the week. No, it's not my game of the week. Temple, about an 11.5-point favorite
on the road
a bad ECU team.
UCF plays Cincinnati tomorrow. It's one of a couple football games tomorrow night to look forward to, but clearly the big games we're looking forward to here in the state of Iowa, you and I, Iowa and Iowa State, coming up on Saturday. That includes Iowa and Michigan. Which team needs the victory more? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. And if you joined us just recently and missed Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf, who is the color commentator for the University of Michigan, he certainly seemed to intimate that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan are in desperate need of that win because they've already suffered a Big Ten loss. Iowa has not.
Yeah, when Dan said that, I think it was pretty obvious right away that they realize that. They cannot afford to lose this game, and they're going to have their best effort in order to beat Iowa. You look at the spread, 3.5 points, two fairly evenly matched teams. The only reason Michigan is even getting the nod in this is because they're at home. So I think both teams believe that they should win this game, that they can win this game, but Michigan is in, I think, desperation mode to win this game.
We will see how things play out. The Cardinals are threatening again with the Braves. Now on the top of the sixth inning, runner on second with no outs, and Yadier Molina at the plate for St. Louis. We'll again keep you abreast of what's going on with that game. A reminder that we are busy tonight on all three of our KGYM frequencies at 7 o'clock. We will have Cedar Falls at Cedar Rapids Jefferson and Kingston Stadium for you on 1600 AM. That game will also join up on 107.5 FM after the Braves and Cardinals game is finished. And on 106.3 FM, Iowa City High travels to Brady Street Stadium in Davenport to take on Davenport North. So you can catch the Little Hawks on 106.3 FM. That unfortunately does mean no Thursday night football for you, but the Rams and the Seahawks will play anyway, as will the Dodgers and the Nationals. This is that time of year where it's extremely difficult for us to please everybody, and so we do the best that we can. And we're bringing you baseball right now on 107.5 FM, this show on two of our frequencies, and then high school football for the remainder of this evening until the Cardinals and Braves finish up. Cardinals might be in business here. Hopefully we're not going to disturb our next guest, who most likely is enjoying this game along with the rest of us, Joe Sheehan, who is the author of his own newsletter. He actually had a very interesting take on St. Louis and Atlanta. He does not think that the Braves are utilizing their best starting pitcher in this series. We'll get to his thoughts on that and more. Joe Sheehan joins us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Boyer looks to carry momentum to the Monster Mile. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today, midday.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Race fans, it's time for today's NASCAR Cup Series race.
Let's go, baby!
We can expect to see them on offense and maybe make an aggressive strategy.
That's what sports are all about. It comes down to man versus man. Who can perform when the pressure is the highest?
And who will let it ride today?
A great day to be a champion.
Oh, yeah!
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs at Dover, Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN.
Fresh off a fourth-place finish at the Roval in Charlotte last Sunday, Clint Boyer is looking forward to the first race of the round of 12 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs this Sunday at Dover International Speedway in Delaware. a high-banked one-mile oval that has been good to him in the past.
Dover's a good track for me. You know, it's a place that I really enjoy racing at, and usually, you know, when you're enjoying something, it's because you run well there. It's just a good track for me.
He has top 10 finishes in three of the last four starts there, including a second place in May of last year. And congratulations to Corey LaJoy and wife Kelly, as they announced this week they are expecting their first child next spring. For more, see MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
6:03, we welcome you aboard or back to the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 106.3 FM. Currently on 107.5 FM, the Braves and Cardinals are trying desperately to figure out who wants to win this game less. It's 1-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Cardinals continue to threaten, and then Atlanta is able to wiggle off the hook. Joe Sheehan is set to join us coming up here in a matter of a few minutes, the contributor to publications such as Baseball America, the author of his own newsletter, the Joe Sheehan newsletter, and we'll get his thoughts on the seven managerial openings around Major League Baseball, the seventh job becoming available today after the New York Mets decided that they would part ways with manager Mickey Callaway 2 years into a three-year contract. Braves and Cardinals going on now. The Nationals and Dodgers later tonight, and then tomorrow we do it all over again with the American League, the Minnesota Twins and the New York Yankees. That's a series that obviously there will be quite a bit of interest here on 107.5 FM, the home of Minnesota Twins baseball. The two teams who hit the most home runs in Major League Baseball this year, the Twins and the Yankees. And yet, I was reading a piece earlier today that home runs don't necessarily play all that well in the postseason, that the postseason is more about teams that have pitching and play defense and don't make mistakes. So you can hit your way into the postseason, but once you're in the postseason, it's the other things that matter.
Sorry, I had a momentary lapse there.
Well, was there actually action in the Cardinals-Braves game? Or
No. I look at all these teams right now, and they're so similar. It's just sort of where baseball is right now. Lots of home runs during the regular season, and then you get pitching matchups in the postseason where it's four innings at a time, and then you're playing the matchups for the rest of the game. And that's even in a game where both starting pitchers looked very good. The Braves went to their bullpen early. The Cardinals are now going to their bullpen. So it will be interesting to see what happens the rest of the way. But I kind of had forgotten what the stress of the postseason felt like.
The Twins have announced that Jose Berríos will start game one against the New York Yankees. The game two starter is to be determined. It's either going to be Jake Odorizzi or Randy Dobnak. Randy Dobnak is one of the best stories in baseball, a guy who was with the Cedar Rapids Colonels a year ago and began this year in Fort Myers and has made the three-level climb from A-ball to Double-A Pensacola, to Triple-A Rochester, to the New York, to the Minnesota Twins, and then pitched well enough that he's a part of the postseason roster for the Twins. Jose Berríos, just 25 years old, will take the mound tomorrow at Yankee Stadium. That game is scheduled to get underway at 6:07 tomorrow, so I have a feeling we're in for another sketchy day of dodging from frequency to frequency for those of you who listen to local programming or are going to be searching for various games, especially with high school games on tap tomorrow. We'll do our best to once again keep everybody as happy as possible. Speaking of high school football, we do have Cedar Falls at Cedar Rapids Jefferson tonight. Scott Unash will be on the call from Kingston Stadium at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. And Miles Klotz calling the action for Iowa City High as it travels to Davenport North and Brady Street Stadium tonight. Joe Sheehan joining us momentarily. He has been critical of the Braves for pitching Mike Soroka, the Canadian rookie, in Game 3 of this series. He thinks that he is Atlanta's best option, and yet they're not going to use him until Game 3. That could be a boon to the Cardinals if they can figure out a way to score more than one run here.
I was going to say, when is Jack Flaherty pitching? It's all about the matchups.
Flaherty,
now,
I believe, has the ball in Game 2, does he not?
I believe so.
With?
Yes.
I think the Cardinals set their rotation
Fulton
up.
Mike
Fultonavich.
Yeah.
Hard-throwing right-hander. I believe the Cardinals set their rotation up with Michaelis, Flaherty, Daniel Hudson. I do this every time. Dakota Hudson, and then Adam Wainwright in Game 4, if necessary. That induced a cringe. What bigger cringe, that or the fact that the Blues lost last night to the Caps in Game 1 of the season?
That.
Okay, I'll give that to you. I'll give that to you.
We'll take a point.
Hockey is back. There's a lot of games on tap in the NHL tonight. Not the Chicago Blackhawks, though. They take on the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow in Europe. St. Louis Blues raising the banner. The first time that the Stanley Cup was hoisted on home ice last night. The Blues clinching the series on the road. So introducing the fans in St. Louis to the Stanley Cup. It was a great moment last night. Got out to a 2-0 lead. And then, unfortunately, couldn't hang on against a pretty good Washington team.
That was a fun... It was the first time where I was able to watch a hockey game, a really good hockey game, without being a complete mess. I was not even a little bit nervous watching that game last night. So really, whatever happened, happened. They got a point out of it, and I enjoyed it. And so we're in this crossover season now where baseball is coming to an end, football is in full swing, hockey's starting up, and then the NBA is going to be starting not too far behind it.
The NFL is also in full swing right now, and with Thursday Night Football on tap tonight, we mentioned the Rams and the Seahawks earlier, but one thing that we haven't touched on much in the last 24 hours, Stephon Diggs is, shall we say, not happy
at
the moment?
That's a terrible situation right now in Minnesota.
Is Kirk Cousins that bad?
Apparently.
You've got Adam Thielen throwing him under the bus, and now Stephon Diggs. Now, Diggs says there are no truth to the rumors.
Well, did you see what he said earlier? He said that there's always an ounce of truth with every rumor.
Okay, so he's sort of talking out of both sides of his mouth here.
Yeah. At first he said, oh, well, there's always truth to the rumors when asked about the rumors that he wanted out. And now he says that there's no rumors.
There are a couple of, what are we, a little over 3 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline. The Jacksonville Jaguars seem in no hurry to want to trade Jalen Ramsey, who continues to be in limbo. But Stephon Diggs is an interesting case here because I think there are some teams that could probably use him as a featured wide receiver or a complimentary wide receiver, depending on where it is that he would wind up.
Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, says they will not be trading Jalen Ramsey. And I think it's going to be the same with the Minnesota Vikings. Sure, you could get a haul for him, but the Vikings believe that they're in a win now mode. They believe they have the roster to win. And the problem is right now they don't have a quarterback that is leading them to victories. They have a quarterback who they paid nearly $30 million. They're paying nearly $30 million a year for, who they don't trust. And it's causing all kinds of issues in the locker room. Remember when we had this discussion about paying players who may not be the best player on your team? Let this be a lesson to you Dak Prescott people out there. Let it be a lesson.
Earlier in the week, Kirk Cousins went on a podcast and apologized to Adam Thielen for missing him on a couple wide open attempts against the Bears. You may recall that that game was less than a stellar display of professional football. The Bears wound up winning 16-6. There's no way that that situation reaches an amicable solution in Minnesota, is there? With
until, what are you going
to do? Until Kirk Cousins morphs into more than what he is, if you're Adam Thielen, if you're Stephon Diggs, you sort of have to go with the flow and make the best of a bad situation. I understand there's a lot of diva at that position in the NFL, but at the end of the day, you're nothing without a relationship with your starting quarterback. And if these guys don't get on the same page, we're already into week five of the NFL season. Things can spiral out of control pretty quickly for the Vikings, especially in a division where the Packers look a little bit better than people expected them to this year, where the Bears are probably as good as we thought they were going to be, even though Mitchell Trubisky is sidelined for the next couple weeks. And oh, by the way, the Lions at least have a pulse now.
Yeah, they're in the danger zone right now. And if they don't get their act together quickly, they're going to fall back into that spiral that hindered them last year. We said this about this team last year. What is going on? What is wrong with them? They're better than 8-8 or 9-7. And at this point, I feel like I'm starting to diagnose what's holding them back. And they all realize what's holding them back. And what's holding them back is the player on their team making more than anybody. The player on their team that was paid, what, $90 million to lead their team? I don't know what you do at that point. You made a mistake. And you have a really good running back and you have really good receivers. But in this league, if you don't have a guy that can stretch the field vertically and can distribute the football against good teams, you're screwed.
Every once in a while, somebody will have a guest on this program that will make a comment that I'm surprised nobody else either catches or latches onto. And I'm sitting here calling back to the Dan Dierdorf interview about 45 minutes ago, were you as surprised as I was that nobody on the text line commented on Dan Dierdorf comparing Nate Stanley to Ben Roethlisberger?
To Ben Roethlisberger.
Is that just Dan Dierdorf being complimentary, throwing out a little flattery there? Or do you see... the comparison was to his size. Nate Stanley is a big quarterback, but Nate, Ben Roethlisberger comps.
Nate Stanley is the perfect example of when you do a little digging deeper, that's when you start to find the flaws with him. Because when you watch him, for just like we watched him for the first time at Kids Day, now 3 years ago, like, who is this kid? He's huge. He has a great arm. The ball comes out pretty well. He's pretty accurate. He looks like the clear-cut favorite to be the next starting quarterback. The question is, does he have that it factor? Can he lead an NFL offense? And can he lead this offense? Can he be that type of major contributor in the passing game, like that guy that you trust in the fourth quarter to lead you back from behind and get the offense going. So stature, size, arm strength, I think Dan Dierdorf is just affirming what we already know, that he has the tangibles, he has the talent to be that level of quarterback. And I think we've known that for a while.
It certainly caught me off guard. And the more I sit here and think about it, the more I think, man, people must not have been just completely hanging on his every word, because normally that's something that would draw a little bit of discussion on the text line, especially given the fact that at the beginning of the season, people were saying that the biggest question mark surrounding Iowa football was Nate Stanley. Even though he's a returning veteran, a proven commodity at quarterback, a lot of the fans still were not sold on him. And yet you talk to anybody around the league who covers or works for other teams, they all seem to be high on Nate Stanley. It's Iowa fans, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are down on him, and I still don't understand that. And if he struggles this weekend at Michigan, and he very well could, this is the best defense that they're going to be facing. I'll put them a notch ahead of Iowa State at this point. If he turns the ball over, if he doesn't have a tremendous game, I know exactly what we're going to be sitting here dealing with.
They'll be back.
On Monday.
At some point this season, they're going to be back, whether it's against Michigan, whether it's that next week against Penn State, whether it's against Wisconsin. I don't know. I don't expect this team to go undefeated. And this when Iowa loses a game, they will be back. I think it's always somewhere in the middle with him, where I'm not necessarily handing, from what we've seen so far, I'm not handing the keys to my NFL franchise to him and making him a top 10 to 15 pick just yet. But I'm also not necessarily saying that he's the downfall of this offense if and when they have a bad game. So it's always kind of been that with him. And I will say this, from the outside noise, from the people who are really high on him, I tell you all the time how much people fall in love with the measurables, and he has them.
That he does. In staying in the quarterback vein here, Sam Darnold is close to returning to action for the New York Jets. He's missed the last couple weeks with mononucleosis. He's practiced with the Jets. He says that he's ready to play, but he also had a fantastic quote today. "It's a tough thing because you want to stay safe. I want to make sure that I'm safe out there and I'm not going to die." He's got mono, but one of the symptoms of mono is your spleen becomes enlarged. And if he were to take a hit in just the wrong place, it could lead to very bad things. So he's been practicing with a brace that was custom made for him that protects his rib cage, and he's planning on wearing that brace if and when he plays Sunday against the Eagles.
When is it
safe? Why? You're the Jets. Why are you doing this to your supposed franchise quarterback?
Putting him in harm's way. It's not a brace in the world that can protect you on an NFL football field. That is just bizarre to me.
He said he feels good enough to play. He said his energy is great and he's having fun at practice. And
how's the spleen doing? Is it still
enlarged?
Spleen's
fine because his teammates know enough not to hit him, but the Eagles aren't going to be bothered by that. Adam Gase says that it's going to come down to one final test. Otherwise, it will be Luke Falk making yet another start for the Jets.
Luke Falk.
That's just, man, your franchise quarterback with an enlarged spleen, and you're like, yeah, we'll give you a special Kevlar vest you can wear out, like a bulletproof vest, like he's George Bush throwing out the first pitch on the first game after 9/11 or something. The Braves, by the way, in business right now with the bases loaded, facing the Cardinals' best reliever, Giovanni Gallegos, with two outs in the bottom of the sixth inning. That game tied at one run apiece, and you can hear the action in real time on 106.3 FM at the moment. I'm sorry, 107.5 FM. 107.5 FM has the Cardinals and the Braves. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to bring you a big board update, and perhaps by the time we are back, we'll have another update for you from Atlanta. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stalker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stalker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Save big money on your fall home improvement projects now during Menards' Oktoberfest sale. Attract a wide variety of beautiful birds to your backyard with black oil sunflower seed. It comes from high-quality sunflowers. Right now, a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seed bird food is just $16.97. Save on all of your projects during Menards' Oktoberfest sale, going on now through October 12th.
Save big money at Menards.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
6:24. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 106.3 FM as well, 107.5 FM, currently bringing you the National League Divisional Series contest between the Atlanta Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Braves cashed in with the bases loaded in the bottom of the sixth inning. They plated two runs and currently have a 3-1 lead on the Cardinals. And the way that the Cardinals have been swinging the bats in this game, I'd say 3-1 looks pretty safe at the moment.
3-1
the Atlanta Braves.
Without hitting the ball out of the infield.
Tough play, fairly sharply hit. A grounder to, I believe it was third base, was not fielded cleanly, and yet Paul DeJong still had a shot to make a play at second base, just couldn't get the throw there in time, and Atlanta now leading 3-1 as they head to the top of the seventh inning. Dodgers and Nats will play later this evening. That game is not airing on KGYM, just as a heads up to our listeners, so if you are interested in the outcome of the Nationals and the Dodgers game, you're going to have to look for it elsewhere. We'll break it all down for you tomorrow and then some with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach. He joins us every Friday during the baseball season for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, and we'll get his thoughts tomorrow on the American League Divisional Series featuring the Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays, and then one of great import here in Eastern Iowa, the Minnesota Twins, looking to get over the hump against the New York Yankees, their postseason kryptonite. And the Twins roster, the players on the Twins roster say, look, fans can remember the history between the Yankees and the Twins in the postseason. We don't care about it. It's a new season. So the right mindset the Twins are carrying with them into the Bronx and game one tomorrow with Jose Berríos, the former colonel, on the mound. Let's send things over to Kyle, the third and final time today. He brings you a big board update. We keep you abreast of what's going on all across the eastern Iowa area and the corridor here. A big board update presented by Alexander Lumber, two locations in Iowa City, one on 420th Street, and the interior showroom, Answers by Alexander, on South Gilbert Street.
With all the injuries to Iowa's secondary, the leadership and stability that Michael Ojemudia has provided so far this season has been critical to Iowa's defensive success. But even more than that, it turns out Ojemudia is putting the clamps down on receivers as well. Data gathered by Pro Football Focus shows that among cornerbacks at Power 5 schools targeted at least 13 times, Ojemudia is third in the country, allowing a passer rating of just 21.8. The Iowa volleyball team hosted 7th-ranked Minnesota last night and actually took the first set 25-18 before dropping the next three. It doesn't get much easier from here, as next for them is 5th-ranked Penn State in State College on Saturday. The Cyclone volleyball team, though, dispatched Kansas in straight sets last night. They moved to 10-4 on the season and will also be on the road on Saturday at West Virginia. Do you remember the name Michael Dyer? He was a 5-star running back recruit who played at Auburn and won a national championship with Cam Newton. He later wound up at Louisville and spent time with the Oakland Raiders. But he's now a Cedar Rapids River King. If you recall, with the score tied at 19 with just 2 minutes remaining in that 2010 BCS national title game, it was Dyer as a freshman who rolled over and out of a tackle for a 37-yard run that put Auburn in position to kick a game-winning field goal, earning him offensive MVP honors. You're hearing the show right now on either 1600 AM or 106.3 FM, and that's because over on 107.5 FM, we've got the Braves hosting the Cardinals for game one of their divisional series. And then right after the show, we've got two pretty good high school matchups for you. Jefferson hosting second-ranked Cedar Falls will be on 1600 and 107.5, and City High travels to Davenport North on 106.3.
Poll question for you today, KGYMradio.com, courtesy of Emil's Hideaway. Who needs a win more Saturday, Michigan or Iowa? And you heard Dan Deerdorf at 5:30 tonight say he thinks it's the Michigan Wolverines. That loss to Wisconsin a couple weeks ago at Camp Randall Stadium really put them behind the eight ball, didn't it?
What did he call it? The worst performance that he'd seen from a Michigan team in his entire life or something like that?
In no uncertain terms.
Something like that.
Then said, a Big Ten loss is bad. For Michigan, a Big Ten loss to a Big Ten West team, given the fact that you've still got the gauntlet to run in the East, they haven't played Michigan State, they haven't played Penn State, and they haven't played Ohio State. To lose a Big Ten game to Wisconsin and face the possibility of a loss to Iowa this weekend, it makes it as close to a must-win game as possible.
And that's tough for them already this season, where they were expecting to, I guess, sort of roll this year. This was their year. This was the year where they got over the hump in the Big Ten East and checked off all the boxes that Jim Harbaugh had not checked off. And I don't even want to hear about... That's the thing right now, and I'm sure they realize this. I don't want to hear about Ohio State right now for them measuring themselves against Ohio State, because as of now, that's not even in the same, they're not even in the same discussion, quite honestly. Start with a game at home against a top 15 Iowa team first.
Staying in the same vein with Big Ten football, Sam McCowan, who covers the Nebraska Cornhuskers for the Omaha World Herald, put out a poll on Twitter earlier today. There's still an hour left in this poll, but he points out that Nebraska is 3-2 overall and 1-1 in the Big Ten, and ask the question, what's your current expectation for the regular season record, the final regular season for Nebraska? 10% of the people who answered say 9-3 and 7-2. So between now and the end of the season, Nebraska will only lose one more game. Now, granted, that's 10%. So 90% of people fell elsewhere on the spectrum. But when you add in 8-4 and 6-3 in the Big Ten, so two more losses, that's 39% of the fan base feels that way. So between 9-3 and 8-4, you have 49%, virtually half of the respondents saying Nebraska is going to finish with 8 or 9 wins at this point. I got to give them credit. They're an optimistic bunch to the West, are they not?
I'd never get a read on that fan base. There just seems to be so many sectors of it, and that I think that poll proves it. I still don't know what to make of that team. I really don't. I think that Wisconsin at this point is a loss on their schedule, and I would lean towards saying Iowa is too, but I don't know what they're going to look like at the end of the season. I don't think Minnesota's good. I think Minnesota is one of the worst undefeated teams in college football right now. Just look at what they've done so far. It has not been very impressive, but they have to beat Northwestern at home. They have to start there, and then they can start discussing whether or not they're going to get to 8 or 9 wins. I don't think they will, but once again, they're still sitting here at 3-2, as opposed to last year where they were 0-6. A 7-5, 8-4 season, especially a 7-5 season, definitely not out of the realm of possibility.
The Big Ten is, especially the Big Ten West, wide open heading into this weekend. Wisconsin does not play a Big Ten game, so the Badgers really can't hurt or help their standing. They have Kent State at Camp Randall, but Iowa can help itself with a win in Ann Arbor. Everybody else, for the most part, Nebraska can take a step toward righting the ship. It is. I'm not saying it's too late for the Huskers. I'm just saying I don't understand the all-in love of the fan base there. They are about an 8-point favorite, I believe, at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside over Northwestern at the moment. And then another game of interest this week, Minnesota hosting Illinois as a 2-touchdown favorite at home over the Fighting Illini. Minnesota's one of, what, 5 Big Ten teams still yet to
5.
Lose a game?
Yes.
So we haven't really talked about Minnesota a whole lot because they haven't really played anybody all that impressive. But P.J. Fleck and the Gophers have been able to get the job done. And if
their schedule's so weak.
It's really weak. But if they beat Minnesota again, look, I'm not saying that they're world beaters, but the Gophers are flying under the radar right now.
Yeah, I think it was the narrow escaping of South Dakota State, which I gave them a pass for. The narrow escaping of Fresno State also gave them a pass for. The narrow escaping of Georgia Southern. The narrow escaping of Purdue. I think they're right now, they'll beat Illinois, so that's 5 wins. They'll beat Rutgers, that's 6 wins. Maryland's also on their schedule, 7. They're a 7 or 8 win team, probably. But I just am not all that impressed with them. I don't think that they're a contender in the Big Ten West. And I just, of all the undefeated teams remaining in the country, it tells you a lot that there are several group of 5 teams that are 4-0 that are ahead of them in the rankings. There's not. I think people, the voters are very privy to what the Gophers have done, and they're not all that impressed either.
319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. If you'd want to weigh in on the current topic or anything else that we've touched on, including National Kevin Day earlier on between the 4 and 5 o'clock hours, you can feel free to do so. Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Purdue is pretty much out of it at this point due to the injuries. Joey Sindelar, their quarterback, and Rondale Moore both out this week as Purdue travels to Penn State to take on the Nittany Lions. That is a tough pill to swallow for Jeff Brohm, who I think really felt he had a team that was going to be competing for a Big Ten West title and a trip to Indianapolis this year. He was in high spirits in late July when we saw him at in Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. And now you find out that you're just one injury to your star player away from being a 27-point underdog on the road. That was about almost a two-touchdown swing in the point spread in that game when they realized that Rondale Moore and Sindelar would both be missing that game. And I don't know, I have not seen an update long-term status on either one of those players, but Purdue comes to Iowa City for homecoming in a couple weeks.
Sindelar, the reports are from Adam Rittenberg, according to Jeff Brom today, that Sindelar is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. And there was this was coming after a report a couple days ago that he could miss the rest of the season. So there's a chance that down the road, looking that he's not going to play against Iowa. Maybe he returns for Wisconsin or Indiana at the end of the season. But at that point, who knows what that season even looks like for the Purdue Boilermakers, especially without Rondale Moore. 3 or 4 wins, maybe, after a season where, or a preseason where, like you said, they thought that they could compete. They had that horrible loss the first week of the year where they blew a lead in Reno to Nevada. And after that Vanderbilt victory, things have not gone very well for them.
So we've discussed Iowa's showdown with Michigan this weekend. We haven't touched on Iowa State and TCU much since speaking with Dylan Montz of the Ames Tribune at 4:30 tonight. If you missed our chat with him, you can download the podcast at kgymradio.com. We have not pointed this out yet today on the big board updates or elsewhere, but yet another weekend where Iowa State is forced to close the grass parking lots because of the weather forecast for the TCU game. So Iowa State, if you've got a parking pass for one of the grass lots for this weekend's game, you'll have to check out Iowa State's website for information on parking. But Jamie Pollard, never let a crisis go wasted. That's a saying from the political world. Jamie Pollard, Iowa State's athletic director, tweeting 2 minutes ago, "More reason we need to pave the grass lots sooner than later. Was not an issue when we only had 35,000 people attending football games. Now we need all the parking we can get." This, of course, is furthering to promote Iowa State's feasibility study.
Get the thing done.
Basically developing much of that area around Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum. And he's right. He's got a right to pat himself on the back. You had 35,000 people go into your games. Parking was not at a premium back in the day. It is now, and it's especially now. Having been over there several times, those grass lots hold a lot of cars. And when you take them out of the mix, it makes getting to Jack Trice Stadium and tailgating and enjoying the game day experience pretty difficult. So again, Iowa State fans, Mother Nature does not appear to be on your side this season, and that is unfortunate. 319-366-1600, the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line, still 3-1 in Atlanta, now in the bottom of the seventh inning as the Braves looking to hold off the Cardinals in Game 1 of their National League Divisional Series, that game currently airing on 107.5 FM. We'll take a quick timeout, our last of the night. When we come back, we'll finish up strong, a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, back after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Workhorses run with us on a John Deere Gator and power through any job, anytime. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer today to save big on select utility vehicles like the Gator XUV 835M, now available for $500 off. Or get $300 off the Gator XUV 590E. So what are you waiting for? Hurry into your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Run with us. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
6:42, welcome back in. It is the home stretch of a Thursday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. You may have surmised by now, whether you've been listening for a while or you're just joining us, that we are in the KGYM studios today. We rescheduled today's previously scheduled road trip to Mulligan's Pub for next Thursday, so put that on your calendars now. You can join us at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. Next Thursday, we're actually going to do back-to-back road trips the next two Thursdays. Happy hour at Mulligan's daily from 3 until 6. And right now, if you walked in the door, you could enjoy half-price wings. They may even be to your table by the end of the Cardinals-Braves game. Still 3-1, bottom of the seventh inning. Ronald Acuna Jr. showing off after a particularly hard-hit single. Can't imagine old-school baseball fans are too pleased about that, but
I'm all for a little showmanship, but when it affects your team, that's when I'm going to draw the line.
Okay, so if he's doing it against the Cubs, you're all for it. He's doing it against the Cardinals, and you're over there
shooting him
in the side eye.
No. What I'm saying is if it costs your team your showmanship, that's when it's a problem. If you hit like a 500-foot home run and you know it's out, you know what? I have no problem with you jogging a little bit. But if you have any doubt, run. It doesn't seem that difficult.
This game is 3-1. It seems like it's 13-1.
Yeah.
And yet Mike Schilt is warming John Brebbia up in the bullpen. He's used Giovanni Gallegos already. He's used a lot of his key relief pitchers. Does that concern you a little bit here? Would you? I'm not saying run up the white flag in a two-run ball game, but you can get a sense of how a game ebbs and flows. This game feels a lot further apart than the score indicates right now, and yet here he is ready to use another one of his high-leverage relievers.
Yeah, no, I think you keep playing through it and see if you can snag this one. You have Flaherty going tomorrow. You have a guy that's pitching better than anybody in Major League Baseball, and you're hoping that you're not going to need a lot of relief help because he's pitching. So they are about to take Brebbia out of the game. They didn't get a bunch of pitches on his arm. Same with Gallegos. I don't think he was out there for more than 10 or 15 pitches. So not too concerned yet, especially a two-run game. You can't necessarily chalk that one up as a loss just yet, even though their bats have been pretty silent.
That was the fear coming in with St. Louis, was that the offense was a little bit on the streaky side.
Yes, it is.
And they did themselves no favors today. They did have a couple opportunities earlier in the contest against Dallas Keuchel and the Atlanta bullpen, but it seems like at every turn, they've been turned away. And meanwhile, Atlanta able to capitalize in the last inning by putting two runs on the board to break a 1-1 tie. And Brian Snitker now trying to hang on to that two-run lead. The Dodgers and Nationals open up their series tonight. Walker Buehler and Patrick Corbin, the former Cedar Rapids Colonels left-hander, one of the aces of the Washington rotation. Of course, they have Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, both of whom pitched Tuesday night in the National League wildcard game. So they'll open with Corbin and figure out a plan moving forward there. But that should be a really good series. The Dodgers are the favorite to win the National League pennant. They could have their hands full there in the Nationals, although tonight with Washington flying all the way across the country kind of on short notice, Walker Buehler has been very good this season. He was actually, we can laugh at ourselves in this business, right at the beginning of the season, he was my pick to win the National League Cy Young Award. I went off the map and took a flyer on him. And
He's been pretty good.
He pitched well, but not to the caliber. I think there could be a Cy Young contender pitching in the postseason. Jack Flaherty, unfortunately, turned it on a little late down the stretch. But if you gave out the Cy Young for the last 2 months of the season, I think he would have had it wrapped up by now in the National League. The Rays and Astros are playing the first game tomorrow. They get underway at 1 o'clock, and then they'll be followed by the Cardinals and Braves in Game 2. Really important for St. Louis to win one of those games in Atlanta before coming home.
If they do that, they'll feel good about themselves, whether they can steal it in this game or not. But that was probably they're thinking, I know they want to win every game, but they're thinking, okay, get one before we head back to St. Louis, and we'll see how the rest of this game goes. But tomorrow, I know they're going to feel very good about having Jack Flaherty on the mound, but just wall-to-wall baseball for the time being here, and we're going to have a lot of it here on our airwaves, KGYM Radio.
That we will. We will do our best to keep everybody happy. We've been saying that for the better part of the day here. Please understand that between our obligations to our high school football sponsors and our obligations with the Minnesota Twins Radio Network and the Twins being a part of MLB's postseason and the NFL and local programming, even though we've got three frequencies, things do need to lose out from time to time. So happy that we could bring you the Cardinals and Braves game today on 107.5 FM. Coming up after we are off the air tonight, depending on whether you're listening on 1600 AM or 107.5 or 106.3 FM, you're going to get a couple high school football games. Scott Unash is at Kingston Stadium. He's going to bring you Cedar Rapids Jefferson's contest against Cedar Falls. There's an Iowa commit in that game, is there not?
I believe Jack Campbell was from last year, correct?
Last year, okay.
Is he still at Cedar Falls? I know we had discussed that earlier. I believe he is now on campus with the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Seems like Iowa has a Cedar Falls commit every year.
Sometimes they
wind up at Alabama on the offensive line. Sometimes they wind
never
up
forget
in Iowa
that
City.
One. Hey, did you see this yesterday? I know it kind of flew under the radar, but you remember Anthony Gonzalez, right? Former Ohio State receiver?
Yes, who I believe is now a Congress critter, is he not?
Yes, he is. And he made headlines because he is going to propose federal legislation for the Pay for Play Act.
That would certainly spur things along. California, the first state to basically call the NCAA's bluff as far as allowing players to make money off their... I'm sorry, I didn't use the preferred nomenclature. Allowing student athletes to make money off their name, image, or likeness. Now, this is not being paid to play.
No.
But this is the opportunity to go to a car dealership, sign autographs, do a local advertisement for Maury's Wigs or something like
basically
that.
Basically pull a Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
legally.
Legally. Monetize, sign autographs, make money, and if somebody wants you to pay you to do that, more power to you. And this has scared the pants off the establishment in the NCAA. The university presidents, athletic directors, conference commissioners, people that really don't want to see the boat rocked are very concerned about this, and they're hoping that it stays to just California, but it's spreading. I think Florida has discussed something similar to this. And
South Carolina has.
As you mentioned, Anthony Gonzalez is trying to take this national. And if it gets that far down the road, then...
See, the NCAA is scared of it because this would probably mean the end of the NCAA, right?
I think so. I don't know how the NCAA would weather a mass defection of members. Right now, they were playing chicken with the state of California, thinking that California would not go through with this because there's a lot at stake here. The NCAA said, okay, you do this and you're out and you're not going to be playing anybody else. We're not going to play championships in the state of California. And UCLA, Cal, you guys are on your own, basically ostracized from the rest of the collegiate athletics world. And now, as more and more states look at this, and as federal legislation is in the beginning stages, I got to imagine there's a lot of flop sweat in Indianapolis in the NCAA offices right now.
Oh, there has to be, the way that they've been talking about this. And even conference commissioners coming out and talking about, can you guess what their biggest argument is, Todd? It's maybe the slippery slope argument.
The slippery slope, that this is going to lead directly to paying the players paying players and then ruining Title IX and women's athletics, yep, and the Olympic sports.
What's next? Well, what's next is allowing the players to profit off of their name. That's what's next. I am totally okay with that being the only form of compensation in the NCAA. And that's fine. You can't. I don't think that entire professional sports will work at the collegiate level, but that's not what we're arguing right now. You're jumping to that. Not me. Not California. Not Anthony Gonzalez. That's you jumping to that.
We appreciate everybody listening in today on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. Those of you who are so inclined can still catch the end of the Cardinals-Braves game on 107.5 FM. Coming up in just a few minutes, high school football for you on 1600 AM. We're going to take you to Kingston Stadium here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as Cedar Rapids Jefferson hosts Cedar Falls. And if you're listening on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, we'll take you to Brady Street Stadium on the north end of Davenport as Davenport North plays host to Dan Sabers and the Little Hawks. It's all coming up for you here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM. Local programming returns tomorrow. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes. It's the Gym Class at 3 o'clock.